Hello and welcome to the podcast formerly known as WGTC Radio.
Yeah, now our podcast is just a symbol. You know, we're printing it up all the fucking way.
I'm Jonathan Lack.
And I'm the podcaster formerly known as Sean Chapman. I'm changing it with, it's just the same symbol as the podcast itself, you know, solidarity.
Yes.
I'm surprised you're keeping your name.
I like my name.
I like changing names every now and then. I think it's important.
Okay.
Changing names to symbols that can't be spoken. I think that's important. I should clarify.
Right. Well, we are not changing the name of this podcast to a symbol that cannot be spoken.
Oh, we're not?
We are changing it.
Okay, I guess I'll just be Sean Chapman then.
That's fine. Okay. This is now The Weekly Stuff with Jonathan Lack.
And Sean Chapman.
And, well, long story short, WGTC Radio, if you've been listening to us for 75 episodes... that show is, in a sense, no more because I, Jonathan Lack, who had served as associate editor for We Got This Covered, entertainment website, for several years, at the beginning of 2014, I chose to resign my post there. Nothing sinister going on. I should definitely clarify that. This was a totally amicable split.
And they didn't let you go because of all your like racist diatribes.
Right.
That you went on constantly.
My Wolf of Wall Street review somehow got into this whole thing about politics of race and gender and class. You know, it got really fucked up there for
me. I saw that review and it was just all work and no play makes Jonathan a dull boy. And then they had to call the cops on you. It was all terrifying.
That would be the way to go out.
Yeah.
If you had to end your career as a critic, just write all work and no play makes Jonathan a dull boy over and over and over again.
Like you didn't even write the review. It's like an editor wrote the review because he just got that draft. And he's like, I'll just go see the movie and write the review myself like this and send this fucking dude to the insane asylum.
Right. Exactly.
So this podcast isn't even actually happening. It's just part of your insane delusions, really. Like, I'm not even here. I'm off in Boulder, you know, going to classes right now, actually. So.
Yeah. We'll get to tangents in a second, Sean. Let's get back on track for a minute. So, yes, this podcast is continuing. It was on for, you know, a little over a year and a half on We Got This Covered as WGTC Radio. We did 75 episodes. Sean and I have a history of podcasting before that, though.
We did a long, storied history.
We did two other shows. One was called... The Monthly Ten.
That was you were blanking on the name. It was your fucking podcast that you made, and then I came in on it.
You did. And Monthly Ten was a top 10 list every month, and we realized
that was a terrible format for a podcast because it's just there are enough top 10 lists on the internet.
There are.
We don't need to contribute one every single month.
Oh, absolutely not. So we chose to quit that. So we changed it to The Monthly Stuff, and that was a great name for a podcast. Yeah.
I thought so.
But it was extremely short-lived.
Yes, it was.
Because then we became WGTC.
It burned bright.
It did.
You know? Yeah.
So we switched to WGTC Radio, new show. You know, things are changing. I'm not writing for We Got This Covered anymore. Kind of wanted to explore some new directions. I thought it was just time for me to go in a different creative direction. Obviously, you can always visit me on my website, www.jonathanlack.com, which is where this is going to be hosted from for the foreseeable future. And, you know, I think it's going to be good. I think we're going to just keep doing what we've been doing, which is to talk about games and movies.
Yeah, I don't think, like, nothing is going to change about the podcast.
No format changes. You know, hopefully we keep improving on technical levels and things like that.
Sure. Okay, yeah. When I said nothing is going to change about the podcast, I didn't mean that it's like we're going to stay static the whole time.
Right.
It's just, it's not like all of a sudden, I don't even know what the change could possibly be, but it's not like some, like, random negative change is going to come in.
I fire you and get Scarlett Johansson to co-host the podcast with me.
I thought I said negative change.
That's
like,
true.
That would be totally fine with me. If you could manage to get Scarlett Johansson on the podcast, I don't mind. I don't make any money doing this anyways.
If I could somehow manage to talk to Scarlett Johansson for 3 hours a week, I think that'd be good.
Yeah.
But anyway, no. Podcast is continuing. We are going to call it tentatively for now The Weekly Stuff.
Yeah, since it's not a monthly podcast anymore.
We like doing it weekly. We talk about stuff.
Yeah.
What the hell? Why not?
Yeah.
If we come up with a better name, which is possible.
Yeah, which is certainly possible. And this name was not given huge amounts of thought. Let's preface it with that.
Yeah. I mean, if, you know, our listeners have ideas for a better name for our podcast, we are open.
Sure.
Email me at I'm not sure what professional email I'm using right now.
Okay, so...
I wasn't about to give out my personal
one. Just make a guess about what Jonathan's professional email is and just send that email there. Well, hopefully it gets to you.
There are contact forms on jonathanlack.com. You can contact me there.
Okay.
But yes. So, and obviously, if you want to read the website, there will be some new features going up soon. You know, there will be movie reviews, as I've always done, hopefully starting soon. Not in January, because nothing I was ever going to see came out in January.
Yeah.
But starting with February, movies that I might go see will come out.
Yeah, and January January was a bit of a dull month.
It was.
It wasn't like school, but like in terms of media shit.
Yeah, it often
is. Nothing happened, yeah.
But this was a particularly dull one. So nothing there. But definitely I want to focus more on non-contemporary movies. I want to talk more about classic movies, classic cinema, foreign cinema. You know, I've bought like... nearly every Akira Kurosawa movie under the sun in the last month.
Nice.
I collected them very fast.
That is something worth doing.
Yes, and I'm excited to write about some of those and some other directors and stuff that I've been looking into and classic movies and getting maybe a column going up with that. Maybe we can tie that into the podcast sometime. It would certainly be fun to do an Akira Kurosawa-themed podcast one day.
Sure, yeah. I'd love to.
All right.
I should rewatch some of those movies.
Yes, definitely. So anyway, just things like that I want to get going, some other columns. Again, if you have requests, ideas, let me know. So that should be starting up soon on the written side. We'll have this podcast going on, and we'll just take it from there. But for now, we're going to keep doing what we do, because podcasting can be fun.
Yeah. Sometimes. Yeah.
Hopefully most of the time.
Yeah.
But yes.
Yeah, if it's not fun, we just stop doing it, because fuck it, that's the only reason we do it in the first place.
Right. So Sean, anyway, within this transition, that meant, for a couple reasons, but this transition for me... both of us starting up school again.
Yeah.
We took another couple weeks off unintentionally.
Yeah.
So our last podcast of WGTC Radio was our 2013 year in review. Today we're going to be doing a big 2014 preview. We're going to talk about the movies and games specifically that we're excited for in 2014. And we're going to make fun of some of the ones that we're excited for on that level.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, excited, apprehensive in some instances, yes.
Exactly. So we'll talk about some of that stuff. We've got some other little mini topics to go into before then, some catch up. But other than that, Sean, how have you been doing? What's going on in your life?
Yeah, I mean, like we said, you know, school has obviously started up, so I've been busy with that. But other than that, you know, I've just been kind of fucking around watching stuff. I played all the way through the DMC, the new Devil May Cry, the remake that came out at the beginning of last year, because that came out on PlayStation Plus. And one, I was really delighted when I remembered that if you plug in a DualShock 4 into a PS3, that it works, basically. For some stuff, it works. And for DMC, it works perfectly fine. Like, you know, obviously the only thing that doesn't work is the home button doesn't function, but you don't really need that on the PS3 anyway. So I played almost that entire game using the DualShock 4, which is great. And I also thought that is a really fun game. Like, I don't have any sort of fondness for the Devil May Cry series. Like, I played some Devil May Cry 3 and some Devil May Cry 4, but I never really got sucked in like a lot of people do. And, like, the only other Spectacle Fighters I really played a lot of were God of War and Ninja Gaiden. And this is obviously sort of in that vein of, like, you know, it's a third-person action game with combos and shit, upgradable weapons. But I thought, like, the game was a lot of fun. You know, it's only, like, 8 hours or so long, so it's not a huge time investment to get into. The story is really dumb, but it's also... it's got this really great, like, heavy punk vibe to it where, like, it's, you know, everything is... Dante is this Nephilim who he's like angel and demon, like half-breed, and he's fighting all these demons. And the demons, they have... I just love their versions of demons, because I love modern ideas of demons where demons are just really fucking disgusting and foul. So they're just like portions of the game. Like, there's this one boss fight where Dante is fighting this demon, and then they literally just start screaming, "Fuck you!" at each other. Like, this demon's just screaming, "Fuck you!" in your face. I like that, because in a modern conception, that's what a fucking demon should be, you know? It should be just coarse and foul and disgusting and just, like, slimy and fat and just, you know, that's that is the feeling you should get when you see a demon. And that's, like, the kind of the mythology this game plays on, so I thought that was a lot of fun.
I will say, they have been killing it on PlayStation Plus lately.
Yeah,
the number of quality games you are getting for free. I mean, they had fucking Bioshock Infinite.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It's too bad I already played it. That's always like the tragedy of PlayStation Plus, is when you're like, fuck, I bought that game 2 months ago.
Well, what I did is I just sold my physical copy and downloaded it, and I was like, fuck it. I just made $25. Made half my subscription back. So, there we go. But yeah, lots of good stuff. What, have you played anything else?
I'm making my way through Fallout New Vegas, which I just bought on Games On Demand on Xbox on a whim, because I think it was like $5. And I played Fallout 3 and really liked that. And I knew, because Fallout New Vegas is developed by a company called Obsidian Entertainment. And Obsidian Entertainment makes really good RPGs, but they also make the most profoundly buggy games of all time. Like, they made Knights of the Old Republic 2, and that game is basically unfinished. Like, most of it's really good, and then you get at the end of the game, and literally characters will die in a cutscene at the end of Knights of the Old Republic 2, and then in the next cutscene, they're alive again. Because, like, everything just, like, they just stopped making that game when they got to the end and just shipped it. Obviously, that's not Obsidian's fault, but Obsidian just always seems to be plagued by having really ambitious ideas, but they're never given the time to fully follow through.
Yeah.
So I waited, like, it's been like 3 years since New Vegas came out, so all of, like, the most horrendous bugs have been patched already. So, like, it's been smooth sailing so far on, like, a technological front. And then other than that, it basically plays by, like, Fallout 3, only the combat's a little improved. And the writing, I think, is generally better, because Obsidian has a better team of writers. Like, that's one of the best things about their RPGs. So, yeah, Fallout New Vegas is a lot of fun. Like, it's...
That's definitely a game that I remember when it came out, the technological discussion so overshadowed
any talk of the virtues of the game. Yeah.
That I never really got a feel for the quality of the game. And I think a lot of people had that problem, even.
I kind of shied away from it when it first came out, mostly because of, like, I just don't want to have that happen. You know, I don't want to start playing, because, you know, these are games that, like, I've probably put like 12 hours into New Vegas already, and my character's like probably level 10 out of 30 levels, and so, you know, that kind of gives you an idea of how far into the game I am. And there's just, like, the idea of, like, you know, getting 30 hours into the game and then encountering a game breaking bug, which would have totally been possible before, like, that the most heinous shit got patched. That's so awful of a feeling when it happens to you that I just never want it to happen again.
Assassin's Creed Revelations.
Yeah, I wasn't going to say anything specifically, but yes, exactly.
All right. Well, the game I played this week, I've been tinkering with a couple of different games. Like, I played over one weekend, I played a bunch of Sleeping Dogs.
That's a good game.
Fucking great game.
Yeah, it is.
Fucking great. I think it's amazing that they managed to create a good and deep combo system using one button.
Yeah, that's true.
Pretty cool. But anyway, that's an old game. New game, kind of, because there's a new version that just came out. Tomb Raider was just the Crystal Dynamics reboot was just re-released for PlayStation 4 and Xbox One as the definitive edition.
Yes.
And when they say definitive, they mean it. This is the best looking game I've ever played, at least all the way through. It fucking looks amazing, and on the PS4, it generally runs at 60 frames per second.
Yeah.
And I it's been so long since I played a game at that frame rate. You don't even realize how much you miss it until you see it again. And it's like, I don't ever want to play a game at a lower frame rate. It's so amazing. And sometimes it'll dip down to the 40s because there'll be a ton of stuff going on, maybe. But, you know, even that's higher than 30, and it's really good. And it's just the smoothness of it is amazing, the resolution. Tress FX, they really do make a difference. Yeah. You want to make fun of them, and then you see it, and you're like, yeah, that's...
I know, sometimes it's a little silly. Like, you have to admit, like, in general, it's better than, like, the glob hair of days gone by, but the hair's a little bouncy, to put it lightly.
It didn't really...
In some instances.
Okay.
Yeah.
It didn't totally strike me as that when I was playing it. I will just say, like, you especially notice it in... the in-game cinematics, pre-rendered cinematics don't count for this, but the in-game cinematics, holy shit, there's just a sheen and texture to it that is amazing.
Yeah.
But Lara herself, in fact, has been, they gave her an upgrade even above and beyond all the other human figures in the game. And I wouldn't even go to the realm of saying photorealistic, it just looks so good.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the strengths of the game on a story side, is Lara, they have made into a really great, compelling character. Not so much with the other characters in the game. They're okay. I think some critics I've seen have maybe gone too far in I think, criticizing some of these stock aspects of those characters. They are what they need to be for this game.
Sure.
It's not an ensemble-focused game. Mm-hmm. It's about Lara. And I am convinced Lara is in love with her friend Sam, because the entire game is Lara trying to save Sam.
Is it a girl,
it's
Sam?
A girl.
Okay, girl
and
Sam.
I wish they would have just come out and said Lara and Sam are in love, because no one works that hard to save someone they're
are
not sexually engaged
with. Are you saying that you want Lara to raid Sam's tomb? Is that what you're getting at? Is that what you want to say? You just say it.
You went there, Sean.
What? What? It's the name of the fucking game.
I think Lara and Sam just, you know, they want to raid each other's tombs. And I want them to be happy.
See, does it just make you feel better to say that?
It does.
Every once in a while, you just have to make a lesbian sex pun based on a video game title. It just has to come out.
Exactly. Okay.
And you just rarely get the opportunity to do it like that.
You do. So anyway, Tomb Raider is a fantastic game. And I'm sure you've heard that from a bunch of places. But, you know, I was glad. For one, I'm glad I waited to play it on the PS4 because, A, I got to play it on the PS4, which is just better because it's a better controller. It's, you know, the faster you... All of that is just nice.
Yeah.
But then the graphics are so improved. They look so great. But it's just... however you play it, it's a great game. Great gameplay foundation. It's an adventure game, but they definitely prioritize for this game some of the combat aspects. But the combat is, I think, really good. The one recommendation I would make is I just started it on normal. I think you should probably play it on hard. It feels like that's where the difficulty wants to be. Like, normal is not a bad or lesser experience, it feels like, but there are definitely times where I was like, I blew through those enemies kind of easily. It almost feels like, you know, if you played The Last of Us on normal, it would still be a great game, but it wants to be at that higher
level. Yeah, but with the stress that it adds with the higher level. Yeah, just there's just some combat systems that you need more difficulty to, like, really bring them out.
Yes, and I think Tomb Raider definitely has my favorite bow and arrow in any game ever. It is so fun to
use. That's right, yeah, because Tomb Raider came out last year, which was the year of the bow and arrow in video games.
So. Yep, and it is fucking great. It's like, I always wanted to use that even when it was totally impractical too. So, but also, you know, by the end of the game, Lara is a one-woman army, and you are just slaughtering so many people. You feel a little dirty.
Nice.
But anyway, it's that kind of... This game is ludonarrative dissonance 101.
Yeah.
Because Lara is haunted by having to kill, but there's a difference between haunted by having to kill and killing hundreds of people in like an hour.
Yeah.
So that's kind of funny. But no, it's a great game. It's got a great atmosphere. It's paced spectacularly well. There are no parts where I felt like it had really slowed down or was going too fast through things. Definitely, it has this cinematic flair where it has these big event set pieces that are, you know, you do those quick time button presses.
Yeah.
And honestly, those annoy me most of the time, and I don't know why they didn't hear other than I think they're not the core of the gameplay. And when you get to them, those moments feel earned. It doesn't feel like you're feeling robbed from not really completely controlling these scenes.
Yeah.
And they're just so well done. It's like you're really having fun with them. And I think the game knows its strengths. And it plays to them, and the whole time it's really good. I think it's definitely one of the best games of 2013. If I were to revise my top 10 from last time, I'd kick off Hotline Miami
because that didn't fucking come out in 2013. Thank you. We can finally settle. It took a whole new podcast to settle this fucking issue.
Okay, so I'd kick that off, and I would put Tomb Raider at number 4 behind BioShock.
All right, fair enough.
So definitely one of the best games I played this year, and I am. It's like. The franchise I think I may be... American franchise I'm most looking forward to sequels for now. Because they did such a good job with this. And it would be so easy for them to keep making games this good on this. And I will also say, you can... This game looks so unbelievably expensive. I now understand why selling 4 million did not make them a profit.
Yeah.
This looks like the most expensive game ever. Like, there are some scenes where it's like, you did not have to spend this much on this sequence. You knew you were going to, like, bankrupt your fucking company doing this. It's hilarious. But, yeah. Apparently the game just broke into profitability.
Like, very recently I saw that headline, too.
So, I think that's still kind of funny. That you can sell that much and have not made a profit.
Yeah, those inflating budgets, man.
Yeah.
It's getting crazy.
So, definitely play Tomb Raider. Really good game.
You think it's would you call it definitive?
I would. And I think it is interesting. This is another case where the Xbox One... They are struggling to get it up to par.
Yeah, the Xbox One version. Like, both versions are 1080p, but the Xbox One version is locked at 30.
It's locked at 30. Cutscenes run at 900p. There's just those little behind-the-scenes things that wouldn't make a huge difference. Although, I think frame rate... Some people underestimate how important that is.
Yeah.
It depends on
like, the player. Like, to me, frame rate stuff for most... For a game like Tomb Raider, I would forget about frame rate stuff really quickly. Like, that's just generally how it is for me. Although for like a game like God of War, where like the melee combat, like the timing can be so precise, God of War 3 being 30 frames per second compared to God of War 1 and 2 being 60, that was really noticeable.
Yeah. And I just think it's the same effect as on the Hobbit movies, where everything just looks better because the smoothness, just it feels like a resolution increase, even though it isn't. So that's really interesting. But yeah, they do a lot of fun gimmicky stuff. and I say fun where none of this adds to the game, but I think it's kind of endearingly stupid. Like, when you have your torch out, the PS4 light will flash red and orange.
Nice.
And whenever, like, and when you shoot your gun, it'll, like, flash and things like that. When you're about to die, it's red. And then they do things like whenever Lara is speaking her journal or you're hearing a journal from someone, it comes out through the speaker.
Yeah.
They do those things. So it's kind of... They went gimmicky with it on those features. And I think there's more that you can do. There's, like, voice commands and stuff that's all optional.
Yeah, I heard
that
there
are
voice commands in both versions of the game.
And there's some motion control that I turned off immediately for some, like, set piece sequences.
Oh, like six-axis control?
Yeah, six-axis okay. control. So, and I know on the Kinect you can do leaning for the camera. In case you don't want to use the right stick, you can just lean.
Yeah. And, you know, it's a third-person game, so that makes a lot of sense.
Exactly. All right, so anything else before we get going, Sean?
No, I think that's it.
Okay. Sounds good. All right. Let's see. What have we got on deck today? A couple of weeks ago.
Yes. Several weeks ago.
Into the new year. After
into
our last,
the new year.
After our last podcast.
After our last podcast.
What are you doing?
I'm saying what you're saying, but I'm just making it sound better.
Okay.
Okay.
Sony announced PlayStation Now.
PlayStation Now.
Do you want to explain it?
Yes, PlayStation Now is a streaming service. It's something that they talked about when they unveiled the PS4 originally and at E3.
We've been waiting for this announcement.
Yeah, about Gaikai, where we knew that Sony had bought the Gaikai streaming service and that they said the one potential feature of the Gaikai streaming service would be to sort of fix the backwards compatibility issue of, obviously, you know, the PS4 not fucking being backwards compatible by allowing you to stream PS3 and possibly like PS2, PS1 games like the Sony back catalog to your PS4 and then playing them that way. And then the PlayStation Now, that was sort of the unveiling of the service and sort of talking about more specifics where, like, it's going to initially be mostly just PS3 titles and it's going to be a, like, kind of like a subscription. They haven't said how, like, if you have PlayStation Plus, if you would get the full subscription, which that's almost, like, undoubtedly not going to be the case. But maybe if you have PlayStation Plus, I would suspect, like, some titles you would have access to on PlayStation Now, possibly.
It does sound like the subscription aspect of it is one of the most exciting things, I think. Because this very well could end up being something almost like a Netflix of games.
Exactly.
And that would be a great value. If you could just pay your subscription fee and get access to the PlayStation Now library.
Yeah, that would be so nice. Because especially, you know, because there's always those games that are kind of like, you've heard they're okay, but you're not quite sure. And there's not, you know, renting games is a really kind of difficult thing to do nowadays unless you want to get a Gamefly subscription. And that's a hassle in its own way with, like, dealing with the mail and stuff. So it's like, if you want to just be able to try a game out, there's not a lot of good ways to do that, you know?
Right.
So, yeah, being able to just sample games and then just being like, you know, I'm paying a fucking subscription, so I can just sample whatever I want and whatever I'm interested in, I can just dive into without having to worry about costs whatsoever.
Yeah, that'd be cool. But we don't know the subscription details. We do know they're going to launch it later this year.
Yeah.
They're
running a beta, like, actually, I think right now, like, the beta invites are kind of rolling out.
Yeah, I would like to get one. I signed up for the beta, but I have not gotten an invite yet. But, and people who were on the scene where this was announced, was this at CES they unveiled this?
Oh, yes, it was CES.
It was CES. And we should say, this is not just, this is for PlayStation 4, PlayStation 3, Vita, and smart TVs.
Yeah.
Sony smart TVs. And they want to roll it out beyond Sony products, which is very ambitious.
Yeah, that's cool.
But very cool interesting. Idea. Yeah. So, like, that people were playing The Last of Us on a Bravia TV, mm-hmm. and all you need is a DualShock 3. And on the PS4, you can use your DualShock 4.
Yeah, obviously.
And I think it is really cool. This is something that I think wasn't talked about as much, but that means Vita will have access to all this too, which is really neat. Like, I would like, you know, it would be fun to play games like The Last of Us and stuff on your Vita when you want to, but especially with the PS1 and PS2 rollout.
Yeah, games that would be more suited to playing on the Vita. Like, I can't imagine actually playing The Last of Us on the Vita. Like,
no.
For significant periods of time, it seems like that would be really...
It would be a neat novelty, but where, yeah, you're right, the real value would be with those PS1, PS2 games. And we have some PS1, we have all of the PS1 Classics catalog on Vita, but getting even more of that on there would be really neat.
Yeah, so then, you know, obviously the big caveat here, the big unknown is how the latency is going to affect it. Like, the reports out of CES were positive, but that's also, you know...
A controlled environment.
Yeah, and obviously probably that server was probably at CES where they were streaming from, so the latency is obviously going to be really low anyways, so...
Yeah, and they gave some details. You need to have at least, I think, 4 or 5 megabit per second internet connection, but it should be low latency.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm going to be all right. My connection is 40 megabits per second,
yeah,
and I haven't checked the latency, but I hope it works. You know, reporters said definitely the rest, you know, it doesn't look as good as if you were
know, there's artifacting because you're streaming video.
Yeah. Basically what you're doing is that you're playing the game remotely and it's just streaming the video of it back to you.
Yeah, exactly.
And yeah, and so it sounds like, you know, it's not perfect, but it's definitely, it's, I think it sounds like for a lot of people they were surprised that it was a little better than maybe they had expected.
Yeah, like, and, yeah, like it's, because a service of very much like that did exist called OnLive that is gone now because it kind of sucked. I mean, it was around for a number of years, but I think it was, one, like, the internet structure, the infrastructure was not there, and OnLive did not have a lot of money to have a lot of server houses. So, like, I tried it, and the lag was absolutely awful. Like, even I tried it when I was living in the dorms at campus, where, you know, that's fucking campus internet. Like, it's super fast. Like, it should have had no problem. It was chugging like a motherfucker, and then I tried it when I had the internet at the place I'm at now, and at my parents' house. Like, everywhere on live, it just chugged so fucking terribly. It was basically unusable for me. So, obviously, like, you should be suspicious of it. Like, don't, you know, when the service goes becomes available, don't buy it right away without, like, looking into reviews. But I'm cautiously optimistic. Like, I really want it to work. I just don't know if it will.
I would love it to work, too. And, you know, I don't feel like I would necessarily use it for PS3 games because my PS3 is still out, and I would just still use that because it's, you know, no matter what, I feel like that would still be simpler in some cases. But definitely there's value to this. Certainly if there are PS3 games I never got around to sampling,
exactly,
in that way, that would be fun. And eventually when maybe it's time to put my PS3, you know, back in the closet or something, then this would add value to the PS4 in that way.
Yeah, and it's also just nice that, you know, it's because it's just a problem with video gaming in general that when you buy the new device, it's like, well, I want to get new games and I need to make room. So it's like I need to start moving like the old shit out. Mm-hmm. But if I want to go back and play older stuff, it becomes a huge hassle to do that. And so hopefully this works if for nothing else other than just allowing backwards compatibility to still be feasible, even though the technology to actually like hardware emulate stuff is no longer really there.
Right. Well, and speaking of that, there have been reports, and this is interesting, and it does not surprise me at all.
Yeah.
There are rumors now, and fairly substantiated reports, it sounds like, that Sony is looking into or has developed emulation on the PS4 for PS1 and PS2 classics.
Yeah, which is good. That's not, like, I would be surprised if they never did it. Like, right.
It makes sense. Yeah, because
I mean, that's what they did on the PS3 after they, like, put out the PS3 that didn't have the Emotion Engine in it anymore. They're like, okay, now we can just software emulate PS2 games.
Okay. So, yeah, and I mean, if it feels like, you know, if they could do that on the PS3, which was harder to develop for anyway, they could write the emulation software for PS4, and I would really like that. You know, I've got a good library of PS1 classics I've bought, some PS2 classics. It would be great to be able to play those on the PS4, and I would also hope that that includes, if they could do the PS2 emulation on the PS Vita, that'd be really great.
Yeah.
Because I've got games like, you know, Persona 3 and stuff I'd love to play on there. So, and not have to play the Persona 3 portable
play the
version
real
again.
Fucking Persona 3.
Exactly. Or play it with the DualShock 4.
Yeah.
Which sounds really nice.
Yeah, just playing any, that was the best thing about playing Devil May Cry. Because I was like, because it had just been a while since I had played like a real AAA game with the DualShock 4, and then I was playing it, and it's like, God, the analog sticks and the triggers just feel so nice on that thing.
It's great. I love the DualShock 4. I mean, I played, one of the big games I was finishing up in January was Assassin's Creed 4, getting through the last stages of the campaign and finishing all the collectibles and stuff, and I just spent so much time with the DualShock 4, and just, you never fatigue using that controller. It's great. So anyway, so it sounds like some exciting stuff is coming with PS4.
Yeah. Like, and then hopefully, like, the first major firmware update will not be too far
around
the corner. Like, they haven't made any announcements yet, but I'm kind of, like, expecting it's been long enough now that we should start hearing stuff about what that's going to entail.
Yeah, I would love to hear about that. There's some features I'm still, you know, would be excited to see.
I want
to
play my fucking CDs, goddammit!
Yeah, well, just MP3s. Yeah. We can go with that.
Yeah, exactly. Like, being able to stream stuff from my PC to the PS4 would obviously be awesome.
Or there's little problems here and there that I think are funny. Like, when you put in a Blu-ray disc, it just says generic Blu-ray on the menu. But when you start playing the Blu-ray, it has all the ID stuff and the pictures from it when you bring up the information pane. It should have that on the launch window, too. Like, the PS3 had that. So that's just a little glitch that I think...
Reminds me of, like, my Xbox 360, like, 2 years ago, just randomly, whenever I put in a disc, it never shows the picture for the game anymore, where, like, the disc is. It just stopped doing that one day. I was like, nice. It's never done it since. This is like... I guess this is getting a little bit old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so what else we got to talk about? Okay.
Okay.
Nintendo.
Nintendo! Woohoo!
There has been a lot of discussion online recently about the state of Nintendo,
yeah.
which is not particularly good.
Yeah, because their most recent financial reports came
were
out.
Bad.
Yeah,
they had to adjust, sales estimates down for the Wii U. I believe was it 9 million down to 3 or 4 million.
Yeah, it was like they basically sold a third, I think, of what they were expecting to. It's like and they, Wii U's, and then even though the 3DS did well in the Western market. Even the 3DS did not meet their projections.
Which, their projections for the 3DS were kind of outrageous. It was
I think they were like...
18 million?
I think it kind of hit them that handheld gaming is not as popular over here as it once was, and certainly is nowhere near as popular as it is in Japan. So,
right, and even then the 3DS is a wild success. So,
yeah.
The state of Nintendo overall is not a complete disaster, because they have the 3DS, and the 3DS is nothing but a success.
Yeah.
It is doing
well,
very
other than
well.
Over here, according to their projections.
Well, yeah.
Success is relative, John.
It is. But we just heard today the 2DS life to date has sold 2.1 million and Animal Crossing sold 7.88 million last year.
It's a lot of people wasting their fucking time playing Animal Crossing. Fuck those games.
Yes, but anyway, a lot of people playing Animal Crossing, a lot of people playing their 2DS. So anyway, but the Wii U...
playing in two dimensions. What is this, 2008?
Gosh. All right. You did a really good job of sounding...
Thank you. I've practiced.
Yes. All right, so anyway, the Wii U, however, is an outright disaster.
It is. That's an understatement.
The Wii U is the Titanic, and there are no lifeboats.
Yeah.
And they're all stuck on board.
Yeah, and everybody drowns, and everybody freezes, and then when they hit the bottom of the sea floor, the sea floor is also actually lava, so then they melt. Like, that's how bad the Wii U is doing financially.
I almost feel
like
people are...
Dreamcast is in hell laughing at the Wii U. It's like, that's how well you're doing? My God, man! That's what's going on right now.
I mean, if Nintendo did not have the kind of cash pockets that they have, they would be in some serious trouble.
Yeah.
And they are in serious trouble, and they aren't because they could stand to make like 10 failed consoles and still have money left over, because their war chest is just huge. But, no, I mean, it's a
but
definite...
But doing that, obviously, like... You know, if you have a failed console, you know, your shareholders are going to want you to turn that boat the fuck around and start doing something else to keep making money. It doesn't matter how much money you already have,
right.
You just want more of it.
Yeah, and so really what I wanted to talk about here is just, instead of going over all the news we've had, because there have been a lot of developments, a lot of talk of whether or not the people in charge should be stepping down. I think,
which they're not. Like, Iwata is staying in his position, so...
He took a 50% salary cut, things like that. So there's a lot of discussion going on, a lot of back and forth. A lot of people are angry and upset about all this.
I think it's kind of funny.
It's kind of funny, and it's just a really weird scenario, because Nintendo is just flailing wildly on the Wii U side. And if anything, I feel like... When I see all the reports and stuff and the way people are writing this up on gaming sites, it's almost like people are trying to still be measuredly optimistic in weird ways.
Yeah.
And the Wii U is just kind of a failure at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not to say it doesn't have fun games and people can't have fun with it, but Nintendo has done just about everything wrong with the Wii U.
Yeah.
And I still see people trying to be optimistic about it and say, but they've got, you know, Mario coming out and stuff, and they'll be okay. That's not good enough anymore.
Yeah, I mean, their Mario game came out, and it did not sell that well.
No.
Obviously, because it fucking came out on the Wii U.
Yeah, it just couldn't. It sold as well as it could on that system, but it did not move consoles.
Yeah.
That didn't move consoles. Wind Waker HD didn't move consoles. The price cut moved consoles a little.
A little, yeah.
But they're still, you know, you go up to Best Buy, they are stacked sky high Wii U consoles. You can go anywhere and just buy one if you want. They're having trouble with this. And I just, you know, I thought we should talk about the state of Nintendo for a little bit here.
Yeah, it's just... I mean, it's kind of to be expected. But, like, one of the things I thought was really weird was, you know, because anytime, you know, because you have the internet, and so you have this huge, like, sort of, like, public opinion that all is clearly moving in one direction. And so then, obviously, whenever there's a huge public opinion moving in one direction, like, specialists who want to be contrarians come out, and then they start saying, it's like, no, you're wrong. That's like, And especially, like, with, like, you know, when, like, Bioshock Infinite came out, immediately everyone was like, this game is awesome. And then it's like, you're saying it's awesome means it's not awesome because we can't let things be awesome. Because we just let things be awesome, nobody can sound smart anymore. We have to, you have to be negative about things to sound smart. That's a rule I figured out when I was, like, 10. That's why people think I'm smart. It's because I make fun of shit. That's all it takes. It's the rule of the internet. But so everyone was saying the Wii U is a huge failure because everyone was being smart and sounding smart at the same time. And then a bunch of people were writing articles. I read probably a dozen different articles about how the Wii U is the you know, this is when all the consoles were coming out. So the Wii U is the best console for this holiday season. Like, there are so many things like that. And it's like, the Wii U, it's not as bad as you think. And I read so many articles like that, and they were so... also misplaced.
They're
about,
all stretching so
yeah,
far.
Yeah, they're stretching so far of like, well, Wind Waker HD, Pikmin 3, and Mario is coming out on Wii U, and so it's going to have a better spread of titles. It's going to have more must-play titles on it than PS4 and Xbox One. So clearly you should buy the Wii U, completely regardless of the fact that if you're spending $400 on a piece of equipment, you're obviously doing it for a future investment. You're not doing it to play three games. You're doing it to play the games that are going to come out years down the line. Like, it was so... they're so short-sighted and so desperate to try to, you know, like seem smart by going against public opinion. And then this came out, and it's like, no... the Wii, like, it's like people were trying to say it's not as bad as it seems. It is. It's maybe even worse than it seems. Like,
sales projections are not jokes.
Yeah, like, the Wii U is a massive fucking flop. Like, huge. To the point that, like, I...
historical, maybe.
Yeah, like, I think, like, Nintendo has no other recourse other than to drop it. Like, if... unless something, a miracle fucking happens, and Mario Kart 8 in... or is it 8 or 9?
It's 8.
Okay, Mario Kart 8. And the new Super Smash Brothers game, Super Smash Brothers slapping people. I don't know. What the fuck is it called?
You had two great titles. I think it was Tussle.
Yeah, and Roughhousing. Was that the other one? Yeah, Super Smash Brothers Roughhousing. When that one comes out, if that doesn't fucking sell Wii U's, like, they have nothing left. I mean, they have probably a Legend of Zelda game in development, but that's probably so far down the line, I would imagine it gets scrapped before it can come out.
And two things here. One, Super Smash Brothers may cannibalize itself because it's coming out on the 3DS also, and a lot of people are going to be like,
"Yeah, that's Tussle version is on the 3DS."
Right, I could buy a Wii U and play Roughhousing, or I could just buy Tussle on the 3DS I already own.
Exactly.
Or I could buy a 3DS for it, which is cheaper.
Yeah.
So yeah, and the other thing is that this is what we've said so many times, and that people always want to refute, but at this point, it just seems true and undeniable. Nintendo has so miniaturized their audience by creating the same three. You know, they have the same three or four franchises, and they just keep putting out games. And quality regardless. I know a lot of these are really good. I would love to play Super Mario 3D World, for instance. I'm sure these are good games, and I'm sure they will be good games. But if it's only a couple of franchises, and that's all that system has to offer, you know, there aren't new Mario fans every day.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's not... it's just hard to come up with a good comparison, but, you know, if you buy a PlayStation or you buy an Xbox, it's not for one or two franchises.
Well, it'd be kind of like if Disney was still making Mickey Mouse cartoons.
You know?
Like,
and
Disney would be, they'd be totally stagnant because people are going to stop being interested in Mickey Mouse. Like, even though, like, Mario seems like he's going to have universal appeal, that's not true. Like, nothing does. Eventually, Mario's going to seem fucking old and outdated. Like, he probably does. I thought he seemed old because I was playing Sonic the Hedgehog, and Sonic the Hedgehog's fucking cool. Mario's this fat, short Italian dude with a mustache. Like, that's not fucking cool. Yeah.
No, but you're... I mean, it's definitely... They have developed absolutely no IPs, and even beyond that, I think what's even worse is that they have let so many of their other IPs just fall by the wayside. Metroid's gone. Star Fox is gone. A lot of these franchises that they could at least beef up the amount of old franchises they have, but they've decided we are Mario and Zelda.
Yeah.
That's it. We will...
They're making that new Donkey Kong game.
Okay. I feel like Donkey Kong is an offshoot of Mario in some ways, though.
He is. Yeah. If being honest,
So, you know, it's just all this same very small family of games. We're not even getting new Kirby stuff, basically.
Yeah.
I think there's a Kirby 3DS title coming out, maybe.
I think they announced that. There's a new Yoshi's Island game, because that's what everyone's fucking clamoring for.
The Yoshi's Island games are great, but, you know, they're... But they're putting it out on the 3DS where it's, you know, it's going to sell well because there's an install base.
And then, like, the other thing is that, with the exception of Zelda, you know, like, Mario, Donkey Kong, Kirby, Yoshi, those are all platformers. Like, that's the primary games of those franchises are all platformers, and platformers are not popular anymore.
Like, and there's just one genre, you know, if... you want... because there's plenty of gamers who don't like platformers, who...
Yeah, like me, in general. I think most platformers are really boring.
Yeah. So you would not buy a system for platformers.
Yeah, no, definitely not.
Yeah. But you could buy a PS4, an Xbox One, an Xbox 360, a PS3, and
and expect like a huge breadth of titles. It's like I can play shooters and strategy games and RPGs and racing games and fucking whatever. I can play Octodad Dadley's Catch, for fuck's sake.
And they have platformers, but you don't need to play them because they're not the only games on the system.
Exactly.
And third party support for the Wii U has dried up. It's gone.
Yeah, it dried up the second the fucking system launched.
Right.
Yeah. And Ubisoft was like, we tried to make something and didn't sell anything. So no. Like, Rayman Legends is now just going to come on everything because we're not making any more exclusives for your fucking console, dude.
Right. So yeah, it's a mess. You know, I've seen a lot of suggestions of what, you know, Nintendo should do from here. And I definitely... The thing is, I would love for them to just cut the cord on the Wii U and go in a different direction because, you know, my dream would still be Nintendo just makes games.
Yeah.
And stops doing this hardware bullshit because they're not good at it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people love the 3DS because it has great games.
Yeah, but it's not great hardware.
No, it's fucking awful. I hate holding the thing. It's super low resolution. Using internet or the store or anything is a hassle. You know, it feels like a device from 10 years ago. And not a particularly good one. It just happens to have a really good games library. And that is super important, no doubt about it. But, you know, it's just... At a certain point, the hardware has to matter, too.
Yeah.
And, of course, the best suggestion I've seen, and the thing that will probably happen from here on out, is that Nintendo is probably going to put their chips on the portable line.
Yeah.
And probably make their next... I think the thing that will follow the 3DS and the Wii U is something that will blend the two, where it's a portable system that you can hook up to your TV. The Wii DS, yes.
Because they're not going to figure out that that a new product should just have a new name at some point if it's different enough.
Right.
So they're just going to say, everyone's going to be confused. It's like, is it another DS? Is it another Wii? I have no idea. And everyone's head will explode.
Yep. It seems like such an insular company in a lot of ways, too. Like, I read this one report from a Nintendo insider who said something to the effect of, all other game companies, you know, Microsoft and Sony, whoever's making hardware, they have people there whose jobs is to look at the competition, see what they're doing, play those systems, say, what could we do to make our system more like, not more like this, but to catch up
with this. Yeah, exactly. Like with the PS4 taking some online ideas, like the party system from the 360 being like, or trophies from achievements and being like, this is an idea that works. Let's find a way to do it within our ecosystem that, like, caters to our fan base.
Exactly. To make yourself more competitive, Nintendo does not have those employees. They do not look at the competition. So when they seem like they're completely out of touch, that's because, by choice, they are. And that's...
They have been for a while now, yeah.
And what's saddest about this and most awkward is that you look at their, you know, their shareholders' conferences and all these other interviews they've been giving, and they're still towing that basic line, which is that, no, we have to make our own hardware or else our games won't be good, or, you know, we have to do our own thing and not look at the competition because it's worked for us in the past. Well, it hasn't for a while.
Yeah.
Nintendo has not been... Nintendo. I mean, the Wii was this wild runaway success,
but in a very strange way. It was a fad. It was not a like successful product like the Xbox or an iPod or something like that. You know?
Because like with an Xbox or an iPod or something like that, not only do they sell a lot, but then the lifespan afterwards.
Yeah, they have sustained sales, and then they motivate other purchases. That's the main problem with the Wii. Is that everyone bought the Wii, and then they had Wii Sports, and then they maybe bought Mario Kart, and then maybe New Super Mario Brothers, and that was it.
Yeah, most people were done after that. Yeah, so the Wii is like this weird exception, and weird being the operative word there.
Yeah.
But the Nintendo 64 fell behind the PlayStation, and that's where they started losing third-party support.
Yeah.
The GameCube sold tepidly.
Yeah.
Because it
looked like a lunchbox.
Yeah, and it was underpowered, as a lot of their stuff has been, and it did weird things like having the proprietary little discs and stuff like that. And
I always forget that the GameCube had those weird little tiny fucking discs that pissed me off, because it's like, why would you just not have a CD?
Right. And I think people have this perception now, because the Wii sold so many units, that the Wii U is like this sudden fall off for Nintendo. It's actually part of a very steady curve.
Yeah, like a slow consumer disinterest in everything that Nintendo does, because they didn't do anything interesting after the Wii came out.
They haven't innovated in a big way since the Super NES.
Yeah, Well, the N64 had an analog stick on the controller.
It did, and it had, obviously...
Although the N64 had some other issues with its controller.
It did. The N64 obviously had some of
and a rumble pack. It had. Yeah. You had to buy it separately and put it in, and it was never used for anything interesting.
No, I mean, the Nintendo 64, I think, was a really good system, and it has some of the most influential games ever made. I mean,
it's got Mario 64 and Ocarina of Time.
What would 3D gaming be without those games?
Exactly.
You know? But yeah, it's just a tough situation, and whenever you read about it, there's a mixture for me of laughter and sadness.
Yeah, I'm just like, it's just so, like, the failure on that part is so massive, it's, like, comical, but then you also remember this, like, you know, Ocarina of Time is one of my absolute favorite games ever. So it's like, then I kind of get a little sad inside of
I wouldn't be a gamer without Nintendo, you know? That's
well, I guess, like, if Nintendo didn't exist, Sega wouldn't exist, so I guess that would be the same for me, too.
Yeah.
In a weird
right.
sense.
Oh, well.
Oh, well.
Yes. You still enjoying your PS4?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's still fucking, yeah.
So PS4's going strong, sounds like the Xbox One's doing good.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
There we go. All right, so
yep.
I think that's about it for news things and whatnot. First thing before we go into our main topic, which is our 2014 preview, is that while we normally do Doctor Who news discussion on this show...
This is very important that we talk about this.
They did release a picture of Peter Capaldi in his new costume, the official 12th Doctor costume.
Yeah.
I looked at it. You can see my reaction.
Heretic.
Okay. Anyway, Sean did not. And why did you not, Sean?
Because I'm so mad they put that picture out, because it's like, I was hoping so hard that they wouldn't. Because do you have any idea how much self-control it took to not look at that fucking photo? Like, I was just on the internet, and like every entertainment website I go to, it's like, I can't, like, I see the link, and it's like, I can't click on it! Because I don't want to see the costume until it's in the episode. I don't want to know what it is until he puts it on at the end of the episode, because I always, it's a... You know, that's like that Doctor's coming of age in a really weird sense. Is that that's what happens, like, in the modern series traditionally at the end of their regeneration stories. Is that's when they finally put on their costume.
I know,
like,
yeah.
It's a big, cool moment, and I want to see it happen without knowing that it's like, oh, he's wearing a banana costume, you know? I don't want to know that ahead of time. I assume that's what Peter Capaldi's wearing.
Exactly, it's a banana costume.
Why did you say that? I didn't want to know! God damn it.
It's not a banana costume.
Okay, thank you.
Anyway.
Or are you just trying to psych me out? I don't even know anymore.
I did not try to. I thought about not looking, and then I was like, fuck it, I'm going to get it spoiled anyway.
It's going to take so long. It's going to be so hard to not see that fucking costume. I mean, and obviously, you know, like, on one hand, I'm annoyed that they put it out, but inevitably, like, the costume would have leaked because, like, people would have taken pictures.
This is what I was going to say. They knew it was going to happen. They were about to start location shooting. And they just knew the pictures were going to leak. And Stephen Moffat even said in an interview, he said, I don't want to do this.
I know I have to.
We have to control it, or else it'll be everywhere and we'll lose track of it. And if they put out, if they satiate fans with an official picture that doesn't show more than they want to show, then there will be less demand for the, you know, illicit photographs and stuff.
Say that as
I said that
like
in a really
Peter
weird way.
Capaldi's like nude.
Yeah. The Doctor does not have a costume.
Yeah.
He's a nudist now.
Exactly.
You know how he was
acting? Why are you telling me this? I don't want to know! Is he nude or is he wearing a banana costume? Or is it both? It's only one part of him wearing the banana costume. I don't know.
Does it have a hole cut out for this?
Exactly.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's why we're not really going to be discussing it here. We will definitely tell you what we think of the 12th Doctor's costume when we see it in context.
Exactly.
In the fall.
Yeah, I urge any fans of Doctor Who have not seen it already to follow the righteous path, you know, to abstain and be a good Whovian and not look at the costume until it's in the episode.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. So, Sean, you want to do some 2014 preview?
Let's do some 2014 preview.
All right. So, 2013 was a good year.
Yeah, I thought so.
Good for movies, good for games, good for TV.
Yeah.
So... let's go through. We've just got a chronological list of stuff that's coming out. We're going to do movies and we're going to do games.
Yeah.
A lot of these I did put on the list ironically, so
we
could make fun of them.
Well, that's what we do, because it makes us sound smarter.
So let's talk about some movies we're excited for. I just put some stuff here. It takes a while before I get to the real stuff I'm excited for. The first movie on here, put an extra S on that, but the Lego Movie is coming out in February.
Oh, right. I forgot they were making this.
I just wanted to mention this because this is a movie I had been making fun of in my head for months since it was announced. Because it's like they're doing a CGI movie about Legos, but without a specific like Lego property. It's like with
Batman's
all of them.
Batman's in it.
Yeah.
They made a direct-to-DVD Batman Lego movie. Or
yeah.
Lego Batman movie.
So it sounded like a really weird idea. But then I saw the trailer. And
it looks kind of cool. Like,
it looks really good.
Yeah.
Like, that trailer is legitimately funny. It's creative. It's the art style looks good. It looks like, you know, it's you know,
they look like Legos.
They look like Legos. It's directed by Phil Lord and Chris Miller, who did 21 Jump Street, the movie.
The new one, yeah.
Which is a fucking great comedy. So I think it looks really creative. They had good Batman and Wonder Woman jokes in
Yeah,
that.
Exactly. So,
like, it looks like what I like is that it's got this childlike sensibility of when you were a kid and had Legos, and I think this is more prevalent for kids now because Lego has so many more licensed properties,
mm-hmm.
but you would create the stories with all these characters and yeah. stuff. And I like that feeling of that being a movie. That seems kind yeah. of cool.
And I like that they have, like, the licenses for, like, these characters, obviously, so yeah. that, like, I think that adds, like, a level of authenticity. It's like, it's just fucking Lego Batman. Like, straight up right. Batman. It's not, like, Lego Birdman in it or something, you know. Although Birdman's a trademark character, too. So Lego Owlman, except for Owlman, also exists in DC Comics. So I don't even know what they would do.
If they made a Lego
Lego Watcher. Avian Man. Flying Mammal Guy.
Now all I can think is of a Lego Watchmen set.
Lego Night Owl.
I'm thinking of Lego, you know, Dr. Manhattan. And they would have a separate piece for his blue penis.
Yeah.
You could get, you know, nude Silk Spectre.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It comes with the MP3 file for Hallelujah. Yeah.
Yes. All right. So, yeah, that's the Lego movie. I think that looks good. A movie I think does not look good is the other, like, big February release is the RoboCop remake.
Yeah.
Absolutely no one asked for. What's going on?
See, I love RoboCop. RoboCop is a great movie, but there's something about the RoboCop movie that's very important about the RoboCop movie is that the RoboCop movie is a fucking satire. And you know what you should never do with satire?
Remake it seriously?
Yeah! Or remake it at all! Even if you tried to remake it in the same tone of the original, it's like, that doesn't make any sense because satire is so part and parcel with its time, you know? Like, it'd be like trying to rewrite Jonathan Swift's A Modest Proposal in like, today. Like, what's the point? It's not funny. Eating babies isn't funny anymore because we're not in that situation where Ireland is starving. Like, it's not, you can't do that. Like, satire is so timely that it's like, you can't just remake RoboCop. It doesn't make sense. So obviously the only recourse is then to remake RoboCop as a serious movie, which that also doesn't make any sense because why is it even RoboCop at that point?
Well, and I've heard Drew McWeeny at HitFix, like, a year ago, read the script and live-tweeted his reading of the script, and it sounds like the most awful thing in the world. Yeah. Like, I guess there's just the whole time they're, like, making fun of the concept of RoboCop. It's, like, the same thing that happened with The Lone Ranger this year, if you saw that movie, where they were constantly ashamed of the license, so they were just making fun of it in the movie, but also trying to be serious, and it was just really awkward and off-putting.
RoboCop's got his, like, human hand in the trailer where he's, like, he's actually human, so it's, like, the whole... it's just going... yeah.
And the suit looks stupid, and Joel Kinnaman's...
they make the suit black, and it's just like, no, it's RoboCop.
And I know Joel Kinnaman's a good actor, and it looks like it's got
Samuel L. Jackson's in it, so...
Yeah, but it's also... cool. It's just... It's clearly one of... This is what I don't get about Hollywood, is we get 3 or 4 or 5 of these really generic, shitty studio remakes every year.
Yeah.
Like, 2 years ago, I know there was the Total Recall one, and we had ones like this last year. They're basically just these run-of-the-mill studio factory system. Just, they shit them out, and they put them out during times of year where no one goes to the movies, and they don't make any money, and they don't really make a profit. But they
make people like me really angry.
What's the upside? Why does this keep happening? Like, what was the last remake that got huge traction and made remakes a good, like, financial risk?
Lord of the Rings movies.
This doesn't count.
Does to me. I saw the other Lord of the Rings movies first, the animated ones.
No, I mean...
Does to me!
So I'm not... Yeah, I'm not talking about, like, you know, even something like 21 Jump Street, which was so clearly this big reimagining.
Yeah.
And a totally, you know, different direction. But, like, these things where they just... It's a one-to-one. We take a movie... Even like stuff like Total Recall, they could have done something different because it's based on a book by Philip K. Dick.
Yeah.
No, they just made the Arnold Schwarzenegger movie again without Mars.
And without Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Right, so what the fuck is the point?
Yeah, that just makes it so automatically inferior.
Yeah. I mean, and they're doing this to fucking Terminator.
You know,
it's like there's a new Terminator coming out where they're just, I guess, doing the main story again. And they've got a lot of talent involved, and that's what makes me sad.
It's weird because, you know, Terminator, like, that universe just allows you to tell an infinite number of stories. Like, you don't need to retell the same story of Terminator. You can just tell another story with Terminators in it.
Yeah.
Like, that's all you have to do.
But they've never done that.
Yeah.
It's so stupid. Anyway, also coming out in February, we've talked about this movie on the podcast, but The Wind Rises, Hayao Miyazaki's last film, is finally coming out in the U.S. Cool. It'll be dubbed and subtitled, depending on where you see it, so... looks good.
Pick your poison.
Yes. That's a good movie. No making fun of that. Next movie on my list for March is this 300 sequel, Rise of an Empire, that no one wanted.
And bafflingly is not direct to DVD.
Yeah.
Like, you just... Because you know, the rumors were out, like, after 300 came out, that they were going to make a sequel or, like, slash prequel or something else.
And Zack Snyder basically got snatched up by all these other projects.
Yeah. And so then it kind of, like, went away, and then you kind of heard about it happening again. And as soon as I heard about it happening again, I just assumed that it was going to be direct to DVD, because it's like, nobody's going to make a 300... Like, one of the 300 sequels is already stupid. This is based on a fucking historical event. I mean, loosely based, but still based on an historical event. Like, you can't... You can't make a sequel to that. Like, it just doesn't make sense.
It's like doing Schindler's List 2.
Exactly, right? Or Lincoln 2.
Right. That's what Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter is.
Oh, yeah. I forgot.
I don't even remember. I saw that movie. I remember nothing about it.
Abraham Lincoln was in it, and vampires were in it, and presumably he hunted them. I didn't actually see it, so I don't know.
That was a boring-ass movie for a movie with a concept that fun.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, it's 300 Rise of an Empire.
Which, that title sounds like a direct-to-DVD movie. Does. Or a video game or something.
Yeah. It's just, and you watch the trailers, and it doesn't look awful, but it's like, why does this exist?
Yeah.
Like, and especially so many years later, does 300 really have this kind of
capital? Like, 300 was a cool movie to watch once because the action scenes were fun, and then after that it didn't really hold up because it's like, I don't know.
It also, it was a hit, but it wasn't The Dark Knight, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I don't think it's this evergreen franchise you can do a sequel to 7, 8, 9 years later.
You know, and if they were going to make a sequel to it, they could at least have a sense of humor and call it 301, right? Like, why couldn't they just do that?
Well, for instance, we're going to talk about this later. This summer, they have the 21 Jump Street sequel coming out, and they're calling it 22 Jump Street.
There you go! That's, yeah, exactly. That's what you should do.
Absolutely. Yeah. We need more of that. Sadly, no 301.
They should have called Return of the King, Lord of the Rings, The Three Towers, for example. That's just all I'm saying.
Sadly, one of the only movies in history to really do this was 102 Dalmatians, which was not good at all.
I'm sure other movies have done that.
Yeah.
Probably.
Not enough. Like,
yeah, not enough.
Not
enough. Like, yeah. Why, where is The Eight Samurai? You know, let's just get it out of the way, right?
Yeah, and I mean, the other thing is that it's funny, they've been playing up in the 300 trailers from producer Zack Snyder, but he really has no role in it, and I do feel like Zack Snyder kind of was 300, like his style
Yeah,
was
yeah,
so...
like exactly, that was the cool thing about 300, is it just looked fucking cool,
yeah.
But then, like, you know, that only lasts so long for you,
yeah,
without, like, an interesting story.
The other movie in March coming out that I want to make fun of, because it's another one where I don't get why it exists, is DreamWorks' Mr. Peabody and Sherman movie. Jeez.
Like, okay, when we were talking about Lone Ranger before, this reminds me of that, of like, who the fuck remembers Peabody and Sherman? Like, who... It's a skit from Rocky and Bullwinkle, for God's sakes. Like, how old is that? It's ridiculous. It's not, like when they made the Green Hornet movie. It's like, nobody remembers the source material. Nobody's fond of it anymore. Like, I fucking love Rocky and Bullwinkle, and I like Mr. Peabody and Sherman, but it's so far away, it's like you making a movie out of it, who fucking cares? Like, it has nothing to do with the source material anymore.
Exactly, and it's my dad watched Rocky and Bullwinkle on TV when he was a kid, and it was in reruns. That's exactly. How old this is.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, and so maybe, are they going for the geriatric audience? Like, old people who like, remember Rocky and Bullwinkle from their youth, they're going to go see this? It's just, and take their grandkids? I don't know. It's just weird. And of course it's not...
And even Mr. Peabody doesn't sound like Mr. Peabody.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah.
Mr. Peabody was going to be Robert Downey Jr., and then they replaced it with Ty Burrell, who is a really kind of, I think, vocally a very generic actor. Yeah. So it's kind of weird. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
It's fucking... so weird. It's so... I don't understand who in Hollywood is just, like, out there watching, like, really old cartoons and old, like, radio... listening to old radio serials and being like, we need to bring this back into a, like, shitty modern AAA movie. Like,
and spend, you know, $300 million on
it. Exactly. It's like, what the... you fucking high? Who keeps on doing this? It's crazy.
DreamWorks, Disney, Warner Brothers, everybody. For some reason. It's because there's this perception that if, you know, there's brand awareness, there's no risk to it. But yeah, there's no brand awareness here.
It feels like a bunch of people who took marketing classes in college, but, like, have no practical experience. And so they're just like, it's a franchise. There are things that had this name attached to it before that made money before. So this will automatically make money no matter what happens.
It's just so weird.
God, Mr. Peabody and Sherman.
March has a couple movies I'm looking forward to, though.
Okay.
There's the new Muppets movie, yes. Muppets Most Wanted.
It's got Ricky Gervais in it now.
It does. And the last Muppets movie was fantastic, and it's mostly the same creative team, and I think the trailers have been reasonably funny. So I'm looking forward to it.
I haven't seen any trailers for it yet.
They're funny. They're like, they're good, just Muppets funny. And Ricky Gervais has a great joke in there. So
as you would expect.
Yes. Very Monty Python-esque joke, so it was good. And the other movie in March that is going to kick unholy ass is The Raid 2. Have you ever seen The Raid?
No, it's one I keep on meaning to get around to watching. Yeah.
It's a damn good action movie, and The Raid 2 just premiered at Sundance, and it sounds like the greatest thing ever, so I'm very, very excited. I thought The Raid 1 was a phenomenal action movie in the sense of the action it had and displayed, but I thought it was narratively lacking. And what I'm so excited for with The Raid 2 is that I like the story direction they're taking it in, where it feels like it'll have more substance to it.
Cool.
So, but yeah, Gareth Evans shoots action incredibly well, and nobody's making martial arts movies like these days. So, good stuff. And then we get into April, and the only big release I'm aware of that month is Captain America: The Winter Soldier. Or yeah. Captain America 2, as it shall henceforth be known.
Yeah, it's not actually known, but it should be. Yeah.
Yes.
You know, when it comes out on DVD or Blu-ray, get a Sharpie and just write 2 on there and put it in your fucking, you know, Blu-ray shelf.
Yes, but man, you know, it's not just at this point that I just kind of blindly trust Marvel because I've loved everything they've done.
Yeah, God, Thor 2 was so
good. Thor 2 was good.
I think about Thor 2 like every day and smile.
Thor hanging his hammer.
Exactly, I see that and it's like, oh.
It's so great.
Makes my day just that little bit brighter.
And I hope Captain America 2 has that same effect.
Yeah.
I think the trailers were really promising for this so far. And Captain America was my favorite of the pre-Avengers Marvel movies from Phase 1.
I think Captain America as a character has like the most interesting narrative direction to go because, you know, they covered a little bit of his sort of, I was in the 40s and now I'm not in the 40s anymore story. But like they kind of just did that to sort of place him in the Avengers movie. Now they like really need to deal with it. I think that's... You know, that's always ripe for material, you know.
And it feels exciting that he's going to be interacting with the extended Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
Black Widow's going to be in it. Nick Fury's going to be in it.
Falcon's going to be in it.
Yeah. So I just
some mysterious character who's the Winter Soldier. Who could it be?
And, you know, my only worry about this movie at all so far has been that it's directed by Anthony and Joe Russo, who are just have no experience with this type of movie. But... The trailers look really good, and apparently Marvel loves it so much that they're trying to get those guys tied down for Captain America 3.
Yeah, that's what I heard too. So,
that's cool. Marvel has good instincts with filmmakers.
Yep.
So then in May, we can start getting into the blockbuster season. The Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Which is actually just called The Amazing Spider-Man 2.
It's
refreshing.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that'll be nice. Still have no idea what this movie's going to be.
Yeah. I don't know if Elektra's going to be the main villain, Green Goblin's going to be the main villain, if it's going to be Spider-Man 3 all over again. Who knows?
Or if just they are barely in it and it's all Rhino all the time.
Yeah! Well, that would be... I would fucking love watching a full movie that's just Paul Giamatti's Rhino. I haven't even seen 1 second of Paul Giamatti's Rhino. I already know that I would watch a whole movie with just that.
Exactly. So, I'm still looking forward to this movie. I liked the first one. I think this is one of a couple of movies we're going to be talking about here where it has the potential to go horribly wrong, but I think the positive dividends could also be really big.
Yeah, like it could be really good or it could be... If it's bad, I think it's going to be a fun kind of bad, at the very least. You know, like that's what I'm hoping for. If it's really boring, that would be really sad.
It's just, it's got that kind of potential that has the... potential to go south.
Yeah, exactly.
But if it goes the right way, it's going to be good. So that's good. A movie that not enough people are excited for is the new Godzilla movie. And I know, I understand the impulse to see Hollywood Godzilla in the theater and just laugh at it. But if you look deeper into what they're doing with this, and if you read the interviews with the filmmakers...
Have you seen the fucking trailer? Like, that's Godzilla. That's not some fucked up, disgusting iguana bullshit, whatever we got last time. Like, that's goddamn Godzilla.
It is, and he looks pretty great.
God, that trailer's so awesome.
It's a good trailer. It's got the Godzilla roar in it. Mm-hmm. If you've seen it...
It's got the fucking music from 2001 A Space Odyssey when you're at the obelisk and it's like... Yep. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's a good trailer. And I honestly hope we don't see more than that until the movie, because I am excited to just see what they've got in store in the film itself.
Yeah, I'm happy enough just fully seeing with like my own eyes, knowing that they're not fucking with the Godzilla design too much. Like, he looks a little different, as you would expect, because he's a CGI instead of the dude in the rubber suit. But it's like, it's the fucking Godzilla design. He doesn't have blue fingertips, you know. It's not anything fucked up.
No, nothing like that. And I think it's going to be good. It's also got a great cast for the human actors. Yeah. You know, it's got people like Bryan Cranston in it.
Yeah.
Hopefully he's just playing Walter White. And it's just a really weird Breaking Bad spinoff. Yeah.
The reason why Godzilla's going to America is he's getting some meth. Like, that's the plot. I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah, Godzilla, bitch! Aaron Paul could be in there saying that. Exactly. It'd be great. All right, so that's Godzilla. And then,
God, I'm so excited. That's...
And then I think May is rounded out with a movie that I really hope is good.
Yeah, this is exactly in the same boat as Amazing Spider-Man 2 to me.
It's X-Men Days of Future Past, which I think put out one of the best trailers I've seen in recent memory. Their launch trailer for this movie was fucking incredible. I think the story sounds really interesting. I love the idea of the first class cast and... you know, the classic X-Men cast getting together in this way. It seems like they have a really good dramatic hook for it. But at the same time, the X-Men movies do have a tendency to overload themselves horribly, and it could happen here.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely could happen here.
Like, you know, my hope is that they focus on one side of that equation or the other, and I've heard that it's basically a first-class sequel with these other components in it.
Which is the smarter direction to go in.
Yes, absolutely. So, but I, you know, if they pull it off, this will be the best X-Men movie.
Probably.
You know, because it doesn't have a whole hell of a lot of competition. Mm-hmm.
Although, have you seen the pictures of Quicksilver's costume from that? I think it was like Empire magazine.
They look stupid.
Look so fucking stupid. Like it's one of the first times I've ever seen a comic book or like a comic book character's costume in a movie, and it's a stupider version of the costume than what is in the comic book. Like, it's just like, you literally could have just made Quicksilver's costume in real life; it would have looked totally fine. Instead, I don't know what you did. Not like Electro. I understand if you don't want Jamie Foxx out there with a big yellow pointy star that looks like lightning bolts on his head. I get it. That would look fucking stupid. I understand why Alfred Molina in Spider-Man 2 did not have a green jumpsuit on. I understand that much. Quicksilver's costume was totally fine. You didn't need to make him look like a hipster barista douchebag who runs really fast with silver hair. Like, what is it?
Well,
what
did
they do?
And this is actually more substantive than I think people may think. The thing that worries me most about Days of Future Past in a weird way is that Bryan Singer is directing it. And I think he did a really good job on X-Men 1 and 2 for the time.
Yeah, for the time.
But Bryan Singer also was working in a context where you had to be kind of actively embarrassed of making a comic book movie. Mm-hmm. And you could only go so far.
Yeah, like all the X-Men in those movies dressed like, you know, they had a leather fetish.
Right. And, you know, so they couldn't go overt with the comic booky stuff. And in a weird way, that even made it sillier and doesn't hold up. But now we're in an era where you can really go for it, and I hope he does. But some of the designs we saw with all those Empire magazine covers, Quicksilver in particular, but a lot of them, you know, it seemed like they were taking a step back. Because in First Class, Matthew Vaughn used comic book-esque costumes, and it looked great. Mm-hmm. That is stylistically up there with The Wolverine as the best X-Men movie. And The Wolverine also went a little bit more... design-wise, they embraced the comic book roots, mostly for the better, and then there was the dumb thing with Silver Samurai. We can forget that. But yeah, and I hope this doesn't feel like a step back because Bryan Singer is stuck in 2002. The trailer, to me, does not look like that. And some of the ideas, like we are actually getting the Sentinels in this movie, that's something he wanted to do in both X-Men 1 and 2 and was going to do in 3, and they never let him because the head of Fox at the time thought it was stupid. Even though he's also the head of Fox, who I think made them put a giant spider in Wild Wild West. So, you know, Tim Rothman was a piece of shit. Anyway, I hope Bryan Singer, though, hits this out of the park. I do kind of wish Matthew Vaughn was directing it, which was the original plan, because I thought he did such a good job with First Class.
And going back to what we were talking about earlier in the list, they had the potential for a movie here called X-Men Second Class, and they fucked it.
They did.
I don't understand how. I don't understand why. It's really disappointing to me personally. Like, I get Days of Future Past. It's a well-known comic book story. I'm happy they're adapting it, but I would have loved if there was a movie called X-Men Second Class. I would have thought that was really funny.
I want to make fun of another movie here.
Okay.
Disney is putting out their latest in their line of, we're going to kind of semi-remake our animated movies.
Yeah, I forgot. Yeah.
They're making a movie called Maleficent, which is their semi-weirdo live-action remake of Sleeping Beauty told from the perspective of the villain who is in Sleeping Beauty for all of 5 minutes.
Yeah. Who has one of the best designs of any villain ever, to be fair.
And
Maleficent's fucking cool looking.
Maleficent's a really good villain in Sleeping Beauty, in part because it's restraint. She's only in the movie for a couple of scenes. And then she becomes a dragon, and that's a really good scene.
Yeah.
But anyway, Angelina Jolie as Maleficent. Disney, they're fucking stupid.
Yeah,
And they're doing this...
weird. It's just weird.
It's like... Alice in Wonderland was awful, but it grossed $1 billion.
Yeah.
Oz the Great and Powerful had some good things, but mostly it was awful. It grossed a lot of money. And now they're going full steam ahead. They're making Maleficent. I guess they're doing a live action Jungle Book movie. They're doing a live action.
Why would you do a live action? I don't want to see a CG Baloo. That just makes
oh
me
God,
sad. That makes me so sad in my heart.
It does.
My heart of hearts.
But they even said, I think, at a shareholders meeting recently, their new goal for live action is to just remake their entire animated catalog.
It's like, I just love the idea of someone just saying that with like totally straight face, like no shame. Just like, hey, no, we're just remaking all of our old shit. Like,
they said it in, you know, that corporate speak.
Yeah.
But definitely that was the meaning of what he said was, we're just going to go through and remake.
Yeah, we're transitioning our older properties into the modern cinema landscape.
Yes, that kind of thing. So Maleficent looks horrible. It's going to be horrible because Disney just put... Then this is the problem, is I think they've gotten, you know, good and interesting directors for a lot of these projects.
Sam Raimi.
But, you know, it was the same...
And James Franco was in that movie.
Yeah. I mean, Oz the Great and Powerful had a lot going for it. It just didn't have a script. Its script was awful. So they just shit out these absolute, you know, fourth-rate scripts. And they give them to good directors who can't do anything with them. And they spend abhorrent amounts of money on them. And it's just... It's sad. And, you know, whatever. Disney is stupid.
Yeah.
There has to be some kind of lack of synergy between their live action and animation departments too, because I can't imagine John Lasseter is the one greenlighting these.
Yeah,
he's smarter than that. Not that I've loved all of Disney's recent animated output. Like, I was a lot more lukewarm on Frozen than a lot of people were.
Yeah, but at least like they're making new shit.
Yeah, and Frozen was ambitious in ways that, you know, I understand why people like it. John Lasseter's doing that side of the company good, but yeah, their live action division has, I mean, Disney has always kind of been messy on their live action side, but it's just, it's funny. So anyway, let's see what else we got here. The Tom Cruise movie Edge of Tomorrow, I think, looks really good.
Okay.
I think 22 Jump Street looks really, I watched the trailer, it didn't really do anything for me, but comedy trailers often do that. But the first 21 Jump Street was so great.
Yeah, and once again, it is holding our strict clause of that if something has a funny like naming sequel by adding a number where you wouldn't normally add a number into the sequel, then it automatically gets a couple of points.
And that's the best part of the trailer, is Nick Offerman says, we had to move you across the street. Go to 22 Jump Street. It's like, that, I love that that's that's just this basic rationale, we can call it 22 Jump Street. So that movie's going to be fun, I'm sure. We got Transformers 4, Age of Extinction. I just wrote it here as Transformers 4, Dinobots. But, you know, I'm sure Michael Bay will find a way to fuck it up.
Yeah. Mark Wahlberg's going to be in it too, which that could be either a lot better or a lot worse. You don't know which Wahlberg you're getting.
You know, and I want to give this movie some benefit of the doubt, because I thought Transformers 3 was a... amazingly big step up from the first two. It was.
I'm not even sure if you ever even saw Transformers 3. I suspect you just dreamed you saw Transformers 3, and then in your imagination it was better than you would have expected.
Transformers 3 has a lot of problems. It's also got one of the best action climaxes in a big blockbuster movie ever.
Sure.
And I thought Michael Bay's last movie, his kind of passion project, Pain and Gain, also had some problems, but was overall surprisingly good. Yeah. So maybe this will be good. Maybe ditching Shia LaBeouf, who... The saga of Shia LaBeouf.
Oh, God! That has been the last time we did the podcast. That had not happened yet. That was the craziest couple of days.
It's so great. It's like between him and Justin Bieber and all the stupid things, it's like we could get rid of all the annoying people. They could all go to jail.
Yeah. Well, you know, since I'm an English major and I was taking all my English classes, you know, you obviously write a lot of essays for English classes, and they always tell you, like every single teacher, they have to talk to you about plagiarism. It was so hard not to crack up because it was the day after I had just been reading like the conclusion to the whole saga where Shia LaBeouf had plagiarized his like fucking art film or whatever from that one graphic novel.
So. Yeah.
Sheila Booth. And then he, like, plagiarized his apologies. Like, it was just... He clearly just went crazy.
He went crazy.
He went fucking crazy. And then he was uneven Steven for a while.
And I was sure he would appreciate the Even Stevens reference. But anyway, hopefully this means we never have to see Shia LaBeouf again.
Yeah. He crawls in a hole somewhere and is like, done. Yeah. No more. And the chance of him ever being in an Indiana Jones movie is gone. It's erased from all potential future timelines.
And hell, I mean, there's a real chance now that Justin Bieber could get deported from the United States. It's a good month for annoying people fucking.
Yeah, for annoying celebrities kind of like getting out of your way for a little bit. Yeah.
Yes. So anyway, Transformers 4 Dinobots, we'll see. Except you will not watch it.
No, I won't. Yeah. No, I won't.
Do you want to reiterate your stance on Michael Bay's Transformers 2?
Fuck that movie. That's all that needs to be said anymore.
Sean, if you don't know, holds Revenge of the Fallen in the greatest team of being the worst movie he's ever seen in a theater.
Yeah, the worst theatrical movie I've ever seen. Yes. It's, okay. Fuck that goddamn movie.
You know, later in the summer, we also do have Michael Bay's produced Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles reboot coming out, which I'm sure will be just as good as the first Transformers, which is to say it will be awful and it will insult this brand that a lot of people still have affection for.
Like, the weird thing with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is I feel like they keep on remaking Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, like, every five years. Like, there's a new TV show that retells the story. Like, well, there is a new TV show that is retelling the story. I think that's on... Currently airing.
And there was a CGI animated movie several years ago that was actually pretty good.
Yeah, but then had like nothing else with it. I think it had a video game adaptation. That was the only thing they did with that version. It's like, what? Like, it's just such a weird. I don't understand how Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Like, I love Turtles, but I don't understand how that franchise still propagates in that way. Like, it just ends, then a couple of years later, a new animated TV show begins. It's like, oh, okay.
Hey, teenage turtles eating pizza and doing martial arts is an evergreen idea. Everyone will love it forever.
And I haven't seen the last, like, probably two or three Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles adaptations whatsoever, like the TV shows. But I hope that Michelangelo still says cowabunga. If he doesn't, it doesn't count to me.
Yeah, so now we get the version where they are aliens and Megan Fox is in it. And which isn't a huge problem. Megan Fox is unfairly criticized sometimes, but
Then they really need to, if they are actually aliens, it should just be teenage alien Ninja Turtles, right? Like, they wouldn't be mutants anymore.
Yeah, maybe they can go to Planet of the Turtles in the sequel. But speaking of planets, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes is coming out this year in, I think, August. And did you see Rise of the Planet of the Apes?
No.
Surprisingly good movie. So and this one is directed by Matt Reeves, who did Cloverfield, and he's done some other stuff. He's a talented guy, so... Planet of the Apes is against all odds, they rehabilitated that franchise.
Did Tim Burton do that? Mm-hmm. That was him that did that fucking shitty remake.
Yeah, because, you know, Tim Burton makes shitty movies. If you didn't know already.
In general, very, very true.
Yes, so I'm looking forward to Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. Rise was good. We've got Guardians of the Galaxy coming out in August. Right. Marvel, I like Marvel. Yeah. This looks fun. Yeah. That's all there is
and
to it.
I'm excited to watch a comic book movie about a franchise I literally know nothing about other than like what everybody knows about ever since they announced the movie, basically, like Rocket Raccoon.
I am excited to watch a major Hollywood blockbuster with a CGI raccoon who uses a rocket.
Yeah. And a tree voiced by Vin Diesel.
Exactly. It's going to be good. Sin City, A Dame to Kill For is finally coming out. I really am a huge fan of the big first Sin City movie. Yeah. I hope this is good, too. The one worry is Frank Miller has written new content for it.
And that's a big worry. That's a very big worry, my friend.
Yes. So we'll see. Robert Rodriguez has not really made anything substantial in a long time, but his first Sin City movie is a really good just piece of fun pulp noir, and I hope this one lives up to that. It's definitely got a great cast. They've got some great people on board for it. So we'll see. I did not even know this was in production, but there's yet another Resident Evil coming out.
Yeah.
They are up to 6. They have caught up to the games.
Yeah, because Resident Evil 6, the game, came out, I think, 2 years ago now.
So they're on to that. And then in the fall, I think the big movies that are coming out, the big one definitely is Christopher Nolan's new movie, Interstellar, which I'm sure will be interesting. There's the Dumb and Dumber sequel that,
how long? Why? This has been
it's
like
20 years.
20 years, yeah.
You know, a lot of people are excited for this. I'm not sure why. One, comedy sequels aren't usually good.
Yeah, and sequels made 20 years after the original are also generally not good. So,
and Dumb and Dumber in no way ever asked for a sequel.
Yeah.
So. Also, Dumb and Dumber is funny. It's fine.
Yeah, it's funny,
good,
but it's not like... It's not that great. You know,
it doesn't... Yeah. Weird. The next Hunger Games is coming out. Hunger Games 3, Part 1.
Because we can't get over the shit of splitting adaptations into two movies by justifying it by how long the books are. And it's like, fucking goddamn it. Like,
or by how long the books aren't, in the case of The Hobbit, There and Back Again.
Yeah.
Which will be coming out.
Well, I give that pass because it's Peter Jackson. Fair enough. Okay. He, you know, hey, he's cool. He made three of the best movies ever, so.
And Hobbit 2 was super good.
Yeah.
And Hobbit 1, you and I are split on that, but I really liked it.
Yeah.
And you liked it more.
I liked it more, so.
Yes. Yeah. So, and I think There and Back Again is going to be amazing. If, mm-hmm. if the first two are any indication of what they are building towards.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we've talked about that. So that's so far what we know about for 2014. Some good in there. And, you know, this is the thing about movies every year, I should say. The movies that are usually on my top 10 list are ones I did not know about going into the year. Because usually the, you know, these are, we really only know right now definite release dates and stuff for the big blockbusters. Most of those are going to be shit.
Yeah.
Some of them look fun. Marvel movies, things like that. But other than that, you know, definitely the second half of the year isn't totally mapped out. That's when the good stuff will come. And it's going to be similar with games.
Yeah, exactly.
So let's talk about some games. What is Octodad Dadliest Catch?
Okay, so Octodad Dadliest Catch, that was I think it came out today while we're recording this podcast. And by that I mean it came out on PC platforms, like on Steam. But Octodad Dadliest Catch, originally it was just Octodad, and it was a student game that was made. And the basic premise is you play as an octopus who is in a human, like a business suit, like a blue business suit. And he has, like, his tentacles sticking through, like, the pant legs and the arm legs. And he goes around, and nobody knows that he's an octopus. Even though he's clearly and obviously an octopus, the premise is everyone just thinks he's a normal guy for no apparent reason. He has a wife and children. Don't ask me how he has children. He has a wife and children. So the basic premise of Octodad is you're playing as Octodad, and the controls are, like, are really unwieldy, and you're sort of, like, swinging your tentacles around. And it's really, I mean, I should say it's effectively a comedy game in mechanics and in story. And so the whole premise is you're trying to accomplish sort of like what's normal everyday tasks, like cooking your breakfast or something, but you're actually an octopus, so you don't want people to figure out that you are actually an octopus and like break your identity by like throwing shit all around the room.
What the fuck is this, Sean?
It's so like obviously explaining it sounds really weird. If you see like videos of it and like watch a trailer of it, it immediately makes sense to you because it's like a Warner Brothers cartoon or something.
This sounds so great.
It's so awesome. And even like a part of the premise is because it's like one of the most recent trailers I watched, and part of the premise is evidently there's like some like French chef or someone who knows that Octodad is actually an octopus, and he's constantly trying to prove that he's actually a human, or that no, that he's actually an octopus and not actually a human. And so it kind of has like I said, it's like a Warner Brothers cartoon. Like it has that great sort of like push and pull of like, you know, Elmer Fudd and Bugs Bunny or something like that. That seems like it just looks so funny. But the best thing about it is like you could get it on Steam. Either it's out now or it'll be out on Friday.
It's out soon. It's $11.99 on all platforms. I'm buying it.
Wait, don't buy it yet because it's also going to come out on PlayStation 4. That was one of the indie titles they talked about. I don't know if they have announced a specific date, but I would say relatively soon. So if you own a PlayStation 4 and that is your platform of choice, you might want to wait. I'm just going to wait till it comes out there.
Oh, but I want to play it. Now look at this. I'm watching the trailer.
It's got a really great song too. It's just, I'm really excited for Octodad ever since I heard about it.
Okay.
Yeah. Octodad, it looks fucking... Like, you know, comedy itself in games is really rare just in terms of, like, the storytelling being funny. But it's a lot rarer for someone to try to build comedy into the mechanics. And it just looks like... it just looks like so much fun to play because it just looks stupid and funny. So
that's your most anticipated game of 2014, right?
Kind of, yeah. Like, like I said, I don't think they've actually announced when the PS4 version is coming out. But it's definitely coming out. It'll be out by the end of the year, I'm sure. So...
Nice.
I'm super excited.
Okay, so Sean, what else have we got here? Are you as excited for Lightning Returns Final Fantasy 13 3?
I don't know. How excited are you? No, I'm not excited for it. There's no part of me, like literally there's not a single atom, no, not a single subatomic particle in my entire being that has any interest in the third Final Fantasy 13 game. Every single subatomic particle in my body is bewildered by the fact that there is a third Final Fantasy 13 game.
Yeah, well, you know, if I had ever finished 13, or if I had time to go back and finish 13 and then play 13-2, I would probably buy this game, but I'm too far gone on that, so...
Yeah.
I hope the people who buy it like it, and,
yeah, you know, sure.
It looks interesting in some ways, but I'm a little disconnected from that franchise at the moment.
Yeah, like I'm still cautiously optimistic about Final Fantasy 15 whenever that comes out.
I'm excited for that.
That trailer was pretty cool, but yeah, like I think with the Nova Crystallis, whatever the fuck their like pretentious ass name was for this franchise within a franchise, basically, ship sailed for me on that. Yeah. So.
All right, so what else we got here, Sean? Why don't you take us through some of these?
Okay, so the next up, and this is basically in more or less all these games I'm going to list off, like for now, are confirmed to come out in 2014, and this is like basically in chronological order.
And then
so,
we're going to talk about ones without release dates.
Yeah. So then Thief, like basically Thief, if you've never played the old games, it's an old like 90s sort of historic PC franchise that really revolutionized, kind of defined the stealth genre. Like I've played Thief, I think it's Thief 2 is the one I played. And because I got it on like a Steam sale, that was fun. Like I usually don't play stealth games, but it's a pretty hardcore stealth. And they're remaking it. Like I have no idea if the remake's going to be any good. I have no idea if people should buy it. But it's interesting that they're remaking Thief because that franchise had been sort of dormant for a very, very long time. So that's happening. Then let's see. Next up, okay, this is because Telltale has for a long time been trying to revive the adventure genre, and then last year, or 2 years ago, they came out with The Walking Dead Season 1, and that really blew up, and I thought it was good, but I think a lot of people sort of oversold it, but it was still, like, totally worth buying and playing if you're interested.
It's a game I've bought, and I cannot get into it. I've tried playing through Episode 1 several times. And
I think you have to get to Episode 2. Like, Episode 1, I thought Episode 1 was interesting, but it is so much set up. Episode 2 is easily the best episode in that. Like, Episode 2 is fucking awesome. I think Episode 2 is great. Okay. Everyone else loved, like, everyone else thought, like Episode 3, 4, and 5 were really, really awesome. And I was like, 2 was fucking great, because 2 is totally self-contained, and I think that's one of the things that makes it really great, because all the choices pay off, basically, within 2, whereas 3, 4, and 5, all the choices sort of try to build up a web, but that web falls apart because you can't have those choices. You know, they just can't organically exist within a mechanical system.
I just couldn't stand the gameplay in any way. It just, I don't know, it rubbed me the wrong way.
But anyways, so that blew up, but then they came out with The Wolf Among Us. The first episode came out a little while ago. I actually have it on Xbox, but I haven't played it because I'm gonna wait for The Wolf Among Us to come out on PS4 before I start playing it. But basically, The Wolf Among Us is based off of the Fables franchise, which is a graphic novel series that I've read a couple of the graphic novels, and they're very good. And it's set in a universe where sort of, you know, fable creatures like the Big Bad Wolf and stuff exist in modern day, and they kind of like are trying to hide and not be known. It's sort of a cliched premise, but it's a really good universe. It's really interesting. And I think in The Wolf Among Us, you play as the Big Bad Wolf, who's like a private eye detective, and he sort of solves problems for people. And so that sounds really interesting, and I really want to play The Wolf Among Us. And again, only the first episode has come out, and obviously, if it's not all the rest of the episodes are going to come out in all of 2014, it would definitely be done by early 2015. And then also, very recently, The Walking Dead Season 2 began, and I have not played the first episode, which is the only one that has come out so far. But I heard the first episode was pretty good. Like, I'm not going to spoil it, because like if I told you what the premise was, it would kind of spoil the end of Walking Dead Season 1, but like the narrative directions sound kind of interesting, so I'll probably play that when it comes out. And again, like those episodes are basically going to come out in 2014. So if you're into Telltale games, this is going to be a really good year for you, if you're into The Walking Dead, because that's sort of, after that came out, that just changed how Telltale made games, because before that, they made like Sam and Max and that like Back to the Future like 5-episode thing.
Oh yeah.
Those are like classical adventure style games, and these are very sort of like newfangled modern adventure style games where you still walk really slow for some reason.
Update on Octodad Deadliest Catch.
Yes.
I cannot find a release date on PS4, but it's going to have local 4-player co-op.
Yeah, I heard about that, where each controller controls like a different limb or something. That's what I heard. Like, it's not entirely confirmed. Like, I was reading reviews when I was walking back to the condo after classes.
Okay, so. I am promising that when that comes out for PS4, we will fucking live stream us playing that. That has to be like a podcast episode. It's us trying to play Octodad together.
Yeah.
Okay.
Awesome. Breaking Octodad news.
Yes. All right, so let's keep going. What else we got, Sean?
Okay. Next up is a game I'm really fucking excited about, is Dark Souls 2, where if you listen to our previous podcast, WGCZ Radio, like the last few episodes of that I had been playing through Dark Souls, which I have now completed. And Dark Souls is a great fucking game. Like, it is really, really, really fucking good. It's really... Well, it is really hard, but I do want to make it clear to people listening if, like, you've heard about Dark Souls but are kind of, like, cautious about jumping in, which I kind of
was. Which is me.
Yeah, like, people... Like, Dark Souls is really fucking great, and it is hard, but it is not impenetrable. It's not, like, the way people talk about it, I think they build that game up too much as it being more difficult than it is. Like, there are some parts in the game that are extremely difficult, but in general, I think it's not, like... You know, if you've played, like, old 8-bit NES games, it's not that kind of difficult. It's not like, this is so hard, I physically cannot accomplish this task, you know? That's not that. It's like, you just have to learn when you're playing Dark Souls to be patient, and not to get frustrated. That every time you die, you need to learn to take something from that death to learn less, like, that's how I need to encounter the fight this enemy in this future, or, like, this is how I need to maneuver in this environment. And you learn something every single time you die in the game. And just, you have to be not afraid to sort of try things and, you know, be afraid of, like, don't be afraid of, like, fuck it, I'm just going to jump off this ledge because I think maybe if I jump off this ledge, it kind of looks like I can land on that platform and get that item. I'll probably die. You should just say, fuck it, I'm going to do it. Like, that's the attitude I think you should approach Dark Souls with, and you'll have a lot of fun because that's how I kind of learned to do it. And Dark Souls is great. It's fucking amazing.
Well, and I started playing Dark Souls about a week ago, and I just was sampling it.
Yeah.
Because I got it on a Black Friday sale. And it definitely intrigued me at the beginning. The one thing I'm worried about, is it really a 100-hour campaign?
It could take 100. Like, it's really sort of... Like, I think it took me maybe... I want to say probably like 50 hours, but even that, like, that was like the playtime on the clock, I think, was about 50 hours, but it would have been, like, my actual playtime would have been much shorter than that, and that's with the DLC, which okay. The DLC is also very good. I recommend picking it up. Although, if you do get the DLC, you have to look up how to access the DLC, because it is, like, the steps you have to go to within the game to get to the DLC area is excessively obtuse. But yeah, and one other thing about Dark Souls is if you... do kind of get frustrated, or if you're confused, because there are some things, like, there's, like, stats in that game, like, when you go to your, like, character page and shit, like, there are so many numbers that it just kind of throws at you, like, when you're looking at an item, about, like, physical resistance and like, poise and like, damage that a shield does, and, like, they're all, like, all the elemental resistances and stuff, like, there's so many numbers it throws at you that it can be really intimidating in that sense, because it doesn't give you... Like, there's no, like, good resource in the game itself to sort of, like, get a handle of how the game's presenting information to you. That do not be afraid to look up a wiki and sort of, like, just look up what strength does. Like, if you are interested in being, like, a tanky character, maybe what kind of stats you should invest in. Like, I would not be, don't, like, be playing Dark Souls and then, like, think to yourself, like, I can't look up anything because this is the pure Dark Souls experience is just... being in the shit and not getting any help from anything. Because while Dark Souls is a great game, it has a lot of problems. A lot of problems that are definitely, like, sort of germane to it being made by a Japanese developer, where a lot of Japanese developers... I don't think they've figured out a good way to sort of explain their systems organically that a lot of, like, modern Western games do very, very well. And so that's sort of a flaw of Dark Souls that's sort of... That makes it a lot, really... That does kind of make it impenetrable to some people because they just don't spend enough time with it to figure it out, to figure out all the systems with themselves, and that's not their fault. That's the game's fault that it's not giving them enough to sort of figure it out. So definitely use the internet as a resource if you're feeling confused or bewildered and you just want to know. It's like, what the fuck does faith do? Because I don't even know what the faith stat does. Not really. Like, I play that whole fucking game. I have no idea.
All right. But Dark Souls 2 is coming out.
Yeah, like, and I actually, I'm excited for Dark Souls 2, but I actually don't have no idea if Dark Souls 2 is going to be good. Like, I just, like, the magic of Dark Souls is that it walks this balance between it being very difficult and then, like, it also being very doable, where sometimes Dark Souls just feels really easy. Like, when it gets uneven, it can feel really easy at some times, or there are a couple of sections of Dark Souls that are ridiculously fucking hard. And then when you get to them, you'll go on the internet and, like, start typing in, like, and Orlando Archers, and then it's like Google autocomplete, like, bullshit, and it's like everyone else in the world has had this problem. You know, that's always another really nice thing about the internet, is like, I'm not alone. Like, everyone right. thinks this section's bullshit. So that, like, line is really sort of Dark Souls mostly is really, really good on it, and that's what makes Dark Souls great. But sometimes it goes one way or the other, and I have no idea if Dark Souls 2 is going to be able to manage that. Like, part of Dark Souls feels like it's so sort of the moment that it's like it's almost like this like miraculous creation that just like came to being. That I have no idea if the sequel is going to be great, but I've already pre-ordered it, so I'm definitely going to get it and play it. And I will let you know.
And it's only on previous gen consoles, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's just through. I pre-ordered it on 360 because that's what I played Dark Souls 1 on. So.
Okay. All right. Speaking of 360, we've got Titanfall.
Yeah.
Which is the first game from Respawn Entertainment.
Yeah.
That's the team that did the classic Call of Duty.
Yeah, basically, it's the when Infinity Ward got into the big spout with Activision after Modern Warfare 2, and then they split off, and then, most of those guys split off. Which is still, I think I've told this on the podcast before, but there's still a great YouTube video after all that shit happened of the credits of Modern Warfare 2 with all the guys who left crossed out. And it's like half of the credits. It's fucking great. But they basically split off and made Respawn Entertainment, and then their EA is their publisher this time, because obviously they would not go back to Activision after all that happened, where they didn't give them their royalties or something fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Activision clearly did something illegal. But, Titanfall, the one thing... Well, okay, the two things about Titanfall is, one, although it is coming out on PC and 360, PC and 360, the Xbox One version seems to be, the version of the game. I think both of those ports are handled by different companies. So, obviously, I don't own an Xbox One, so I can't play it that way. Then also...
I keep forgetting that I can play it at all.
I have that, too, and then I think it's I could get the 360 version, but it's I don't want to... a shittier version of the game.
It is weird. I keep going back to my PS3 to play some games, But going back to my Xbox feels really hard just because that console is so old. And, it just feels so slow and stiff at this point whenever I turn it on. I don't know what it is. But,
And I love, because my...
I also don't pay for Xbox Live.
Yeah, my Xbox Live goal to subscribe... expired on my birthday. It was the best birthday ever, because that was the birthday that had Persona announcements and Doctor Who on it. But then I also realized the next day my Xbox Live Gold expired yesterday, and I had never let it expire for 7 years or whatever it had been at that point.
Yeah.
Because I put in Dark Souls and I was playing Dark Souls, and it was you can't access the online features of this game. It's oh, right, I can't do that anymore. And then now I love that what used to be the giant ad in the middle of the dashboard screen is now just $5 a month for Xbox Live Gold. Yep, and it's just that too. For all of eternity. It's so it's literally when I was paying for Xbox Live Gold, I was paying you to get what that ad was that was there before. Literally, that's what I was doing.
So, and I'm just not using it anymore because I don't... That's the other thing that just makes Xbox, the 360 for me feel outdated now. I don't go back to it much.
I can't use the dedicated online features anymore, so it's a little weird.
Yeah. I can just use it to play games and not even all of them. So, yeah.
But the other thing about Titanfall that, this is not fair to Titanfall. I'm sure Titanfall is going to be a great game, but Titanfall also has no single player component. It's all really? Multiplayer. Okay. Yeah. So.
I would have to get gold.
Yeah, but I have this weird. I'm a video game racist. I have this prejudice against games that, especially first person shooters that have no multiplayer component. It feels fucked up to me. No single player. No single player. It feels super fucked up to me that you don't, because I have a whenever I buy a first person shooter that does have multiplayer, I have to finish the single player. I cannot load up the multiplayer for a Halo game or Call of Duty until I finish the single player. It just feel weird to me. It feels strange. And so when I've played games Counter-Strike or Team Fortress 2, or especially there's the first time I ever encountered it was when I played a game Shadowrun on the original 360 or on the 360 that was like that. It was a first person shooter that only had multiplayer. It was just I didn't feel I was playing the game yet. I felt I was getting ready to play the game because it's there was no story. There was none of that. I had no anchoring in the fiction or the universe or anything. It was just I'm just playing multiplayer without any context or anything. It just feels gross and weird. I feel out of place. I don't feel nothing that I'm doing is justified in any sense. I feel I'm maybe missing a mechanic of the game because without a single player, I haven't been able to just sort of experience the mechanics without having the stress of competition with it. So it's I hate the feeling of playing a multiplayer shooter that has no single player at all. And so it's with Titanfall, I'm kind of excited for it in the back of my head, even though I can't play the version of the game that I want to play because I don't have the system. But it's like, I've heard so much good buzz about it. But then I remember there's no single player, and it's like, ah.
Yeah. I'm not going to be playing this game, but I've...
It looks cool. I'm sure it's going to be fucking great. You know, like... Yeah.
So anyway, next game on your list is Final Fantasy X-10-2 HD Remaster.
Yeah, which they already...
You will be buying day one.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they already... Well, I'm not, because I bought the Japanese versions when they came out. I just imported them. I mean, I didn't...
Okay.
I could have just bought them digitally off the Vita, but I just decided to import the cartridges anyway, just because
so you
I want
hold
them as a collector item. Exactly, because I love Final Fantasy X so much. I got the boxes, and then I put them up to my figures of Titus and Yuna that I keep. Because I love Titus so much. He's the best character ever created in anything ever. His character design is amazing. I think wearing shorts where one leg of your shorts is like a pant leg, but the other leg is like a shorts leg, it's fashion genius. I don't know why we all don't dress like that.
Sean does not like Final Fantasy X.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't. So...
Metal Gear Solid 5, Ground Zeroes. What the fuck is going on with Metal Gear Solid 5?
No, I don't even know. Like, you maybe should have stopped that sentence at what the fuck is going on with Metal Gear? Because, like, that is a franchise that seems completely impenetrable to me. I've not played any of Metal Gear game whatsoever. Like, not a single second.
Yeah, I don't even know where to start. Like,
yeah. Like, I know some of the story, just because, like, I've heard pieces of it, and I read the Wikipedia summaries for, like, a dozen times, because every time I hear about the story, like, I know Metal Gear Solid 3 takes place in the past, and you play as a character, I think, named Big Boss, who is, like, the host for Solid Snake, because Solid Snake is actually a clone of Big Boss. I think that...
What?
Exactly. And there's a guy called Revolver Ocelot.
All I know is that they have fucking hugely long cutscenes, so yeah. I would probably not like them.
Yeah, and so... And then with Metal Gear Solid 5, I think Ground Zeroes is like a small version of Metal Gear Solid 5.
It's a prologue.
Yeah, like a prologue. There you go. Like, I was trying to think, Dead Rising 2 had something very similar, where they came out with an Xbox Live arcade game that took place... like, immediately prior to the events of Dead Rising 2, in, like, a different area with, like, some unique items.
Except,
like, your progress carried over. I think it kind of sounds like that.
Except I think Ground Zeroes is also a full retail release. Like, you'll be able to buy a disc.
Yeah, I think it is, too. So, I don't know. Like, I don't... But it still feels like a, like, smaller thing than Metal Gear Solid 5. The Phantom Pain? I don't know.
Let's talk about a game I know you're really excited for.
Yes.
Yes. Next one on the list.
Okay. Infamous Second Son.
Yeah.
Yes, that is, like, the next big AAA game, like, for PS4 that I'm super excited about.
I'm excited, too, because it's got Troy Baker, and I play games with Troy Baker in it.
Yeah. Which luckily for us, is every game that comes out nowadays.
Yeah. No, but, yeah, like, it's funny. I have not played Infamous 1 or 2, but I'm still really in, like, I want to play this game, and
I think
it
looks
really cool.
Like, it's, like, not playing the other Infamous game should be totally fine, because the main character is not Cole from the other games, so.
And it's just, I don't know, it looks, I mean, graphically it looks really interesting.
Yeah, it looks so beautiful. Like, the particle effects look so great, and the lighting.
Yeah.
And the trailer's fucking, yeah.
So I'm hoping it's good.
And just because I know, like, because, like, obviously the initial trailers and stuff only showed the main character using, like, smoke powers, but then they later revealed that, obviously, like, he can, get powers from other conduits that he encounters, because conduits are the superpowered people in that universe. And so that idea of, like, you being able to get multiple power sets, that sounds fucking awesome.
Nice.
So, yeah.
And it's Troy Baker, and generally means we're going to get a good game.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, that's true. Statistically speaking, that is totally fucking true.
It's weird. Somehow he's not only in everything, he's in all the good games.
Yeah, like, in the best fucking games ever made. He's literally in two of the best games ever made, like, of all time, Persona 4 and The Last of Us. He's in he's one of the main characters in both of them. So he's got a great fucking track record, as far as I'm concerned.
All right, so let's keep going. Elder Scrolls Online. Will you be paying for a subscription every month to play this?
No, but I will probably, because I think there's going to be a beta for the PS4 at some point, so I'll probably try it. I don't know.
My brother, Thomas, who is a huge Elder Scrolls fan, like, that's his
franchise. He even
likes
Morrowind, I think, so.
He likes all of them. He's got the PC box set. And
like with Arena and Daggerfall, too?
Yeah.
The first two games?
And he installed...
I tried playing Daggerfall and was like, this is a little bit too... I mean, Morrowind is fucked in its own way, but Daggerfall was, like, just, like, ancient.
Yeah. I don't know if he really got through Daggerfall because it's old, but he liked Morrowind a lot. So he loves this franchise, and he did get into the beta on the PC, and he played a bunch of it for that weekend. And he says he might play it. He liked it, but he also realized what I had kind of been warning him about.
It's not Skyrim, you know. It's not. Yeah, it's not another Elder Scrolls game. It's an MMO.
Yeah.
And like, you know, I like MMOs every now and then. Like, I played a decent amount of World of Warcraft back in my day. Like, not crazy amounts, but I played it with my friends, and then I played a decent amount, like almost max leveled one character in Star Wars The Old Republic, and that I had fun with that. But yeah. Then it's like, yeah, like I can't, one, like I don't know enough people that dedicatedly play MMOs anymore to, like, that's such a huge component, is you have to have people playing with you, that it's like, it's kind of just a pain in the ass to play them by yourself, and it's not that much fun.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, one game coming out in the summer, for now only in Japan, but I'm sure by the end of the year we'll hear about it here at least.
Yeah.
Is Persona Q, Shadow of the Labyrinth.
Fuck yeah.
This is the only upcoming Persona game we have a date for, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's this is the 3DS one, chibi Persona characters.
Yeah, Persona 4 and Persona 3 crossing over, like truly, like the Persona 3 protagonist and the Persona 4 protagonist are there, like the whole cast. Which, unlike, you know, Persona 4 Arena had like three Persona 3 characters. So.
Right. So Sean will be buying a 3DS to play this.
Probably, like, whenever it comes out. I mean, it'll be like, hopefully by the time it comes out over here, 3DSs will be, I mean, they're already not that expensive. You can get it, yeah.
You get a 2DS.
But, like I already said, playing video games in two dimensions. What is this, 2008?
Anyway, so yeah, it's a Persona game. This is year of Persona. If they can all come out in America this year,
they're
so
not
cool.
They're not going to. Like, Persona 5 is definitely not going to come out in America this year. It's just coming out the very end of this year in Japan. So
breaks my heart. Hmm. Oh, well. Anyway, let's move on. My most anticipated game of 2014,
yeah,
by far, no contest, is Bungie's Destiny.
Yeah.
PS4, Xbox One, everything else. Yeah, I...
Not PC, actually, when you said everything else.
Not PC, right, that's true.
There's no PC version announced yet. Like, there probably will be one at some point, but...
All I'll say is, you know, Halo is right up there among my favorite franchises of anything ever.
Yeah.
Video games, you know, included, but not just video games. And Destiny sounds like such a cool project, but I am so excited just by the prospect of Bungie creating a whole new universe for us to play in that I'm not watching any of the videos, I'm not reading any of the stuff, I just want to play the game. And that alone, knowing who has made this and what it is... This, you know, persistent open world first person shooter with a story and with mythology. Mm. Yeah, nothing this year comes close to my excitement for Destiny.
Yeah, I agree. Destiny is easily. Yeah, because it's been so long since Bungie did something entirely. I mean, the last time they did something entirely new was Halo.
Right.
So,
and yeah, I mean, the last time we got a real Bungie game was Halo Reach, which has been a while now.
Mm-hmm. Destiny. And just like the. You know, Destiny is one of the first games to come out that is going, like, that feels like it's promising on, or delivering on this promise of next gen in a mechanical sense of, like, building in that online infrastructure in, like, a very sort of journey way of dropping players in and out together, having a very sort of dynamic and involving multiplayer component, but having a very involving single player component at the same time and having them intermingle, like, seamlessly. In Journey, that was amazing, but Journey is also not a... like mechanical game, it's so experiential that the idea of that sort of super seamless co-op in a game that has like loot and boss fights and shit, that sounds fucking awesome. So
Destiny, I can't wait, and I don't even have to wait until it comes out in September because there's going to be a beta.
I have my beta key and shit,
so. Yep, I do too, so that's exciting. So those are all the games we know that we're excited for, that we know dates for.
Yeah, specific dates.
But obviously, the way the video game industry works, there's a ton of games we're still looking forward to that just don't have dates yet.
Yeah.
Like Watch Dogs.
Yeah, which...
Which is also high up there on the list.
Yeah, yeah. Like, and it's one of those weird things where at first when Watch Dogs got pushed back, I was kind of really frustrated because that was one of the games I had pre-ordered. Actually, I had pre-ordered the PS4 bundle with Watch Dogs, and then I actually made like $5 off of that, so...
Yeah.
Yeah. But then... Like, they, you know, that opened up a window that then caused me to play Assassin's Creed 4. Assassin's Creed 4 was fucking great.
Yeah.
Despite all my, like, horrible expectations about it and just, like, the knot in my stomach that is, like, the Assassin's Creed 1 sort of created, but then, like, grew and grew and just, like, this rock-hard knot in my stomach after Assassin's Creed Revelations fucked me that hard. But yeah, Assassin's Creed 4 was great. Ubisoft makes really good games. So Watch Dogs looks fucking awesome.
It does indeed. Now, you have this on here, the next World of Warcraft expansion?
Yeah, like, I just thought I would throw it on there because I think, like, it's like...
It's still a thing?
It's still fucking going on. And actually, I don't know if they've announced it or if they've put out a cinematic trailer for it yet, but their announcement trailer they did for it at BlizzCon, the new expansions of Warlords of Draenor, it actually was really disappointing because I'm always really excited when a new World of Warcraft expansion gets, or any Blizzard game gets announced, because they have the best fucking trailers, because they have the best CG cinematics, because they get, like, they just look fucking awesome. So, I hope there's a really cool CG cinematic for Warlords of Draenor that'll come out soon. Like, that's what I'm most excited about, because I don't play WoW anymore, but, hey, WoW is still fucking going. I mean, it's losing subscriptions, but it still has, like, 8 million, so... It's kind of relative, you know. Yeah. Even if it's losing subscriptions, it still has like five times more people than I think the next highest MMO. So, right.
So what else you got on this list?
Next up is Dragon Age Inquisition, the third Dragon Age game that I'm really excited for because
what systems is this for? I don't even know.
It's next gen systems.
Oh, cool.
So yeah, it's BioWare is making it. So it's BioWare and EA. And Dragon Age Origins, I did not play Dragon Age 2, and I know a lot of people don't like Dragon Age 2 because I think I've heard it was like incredibly rushed. But Dragon Age Origins, the original game, fucking awesome. Like, it's because it kind of has a little bit of Mass Effect in it, but it really feels like a love letter to really old school RPGs, like something like Baldur's Gate and even the original Final Fantasy, with sort of like an open world map. It's like a medieval fantasy kind of setting with magic and stuff. Dragon Age Origins is a really great RPG. It's very long too, but like, in a good way, kind of like, you know, in a Lord of the Rings fantasy epic kind of way that you want it to be long. And it's got sort of like the moral choices and the character development you want from a BioWare game, but also with like sort of the more tactical combat and like really intensive equipment management and inventory stuff and like stats and shit that, you know, RPG nerds like, you know, gush over.
Right. Well, it's good to know we have another next-gen game to look forward to here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And a big fucking RPG. So, right. Yeah.
Fantasia, Music Evolved. What's that, and why did you put it on the list?
Because I know you like Fantasia, so I was like, they're making a Fantasia game that has really nothing to do with Fantasia, but...
Is it like a Disney Fantasia game? What?
Disney is involved in some way.
It is Fantasia. Okay.
Yeah, well, it's Fantasia. It's Fantasia. Like, it is branded Disney Fantasia. It's not like you're playing Fantasia, as far as I know. I don't think it has... It maybe has some of the songs from Fantasia, because that's all, like, classical shit. So.
It's a Harmonix game.
Yeah, exactly. It's Harmonix. They made a rock band. And I think it's a Kinect game, so I'd... But wait. You have a Kinect, so you could play it, I think. So.
I wouldn't, but my Kinect is in a box somewhere. I got rid of it.
Still.
I know. But the music is Bohemian Rhapsody,
yeah.
Bruno Mars songs. This has nothing to do with Fantasia. It's got Bald Mountain, I guess.
Well,
but...
Jonathan... Music evolved over the past several centuries that Fantasia decided to draw its music from. So.
Well, sure, but that's not the point. The Fantasia wasn't... You know, there was popular music at the time of Fantasia, too.
What?
They could have had, you know, that weird old-timey singing voice. They could have done that as a movie, but they did classical music.
Because all their popular music wasn't that good, so... Yeah, but now you can put fucking Bohemian Rhapsody in the game, and you can wave your fingers, too. I think... it's a rhythm game, but I think it's like you're playing Kinect, but you're also like a conductor of an orchestra.
Boy, that is not going to work.
I don't know.
That's going to be a disaster.
All I know is that I think that's a really stupid title, Fantasia Music Evolved, that I think, again, it sounds like a direct-to-DVD sequel, but then it also kind of sounds like Halo Combat Evolved. So, and you like Fantasia.
All right.
And you like Rock Band.
Yeah.
So, I don't know why you're so hesitant. And... Do you like what you... I mean, yes, you like Bohemian Rhapsody. Everybody likes Bohemian Rhapsody, so there you go.
Yeah, that's fine.
It's one of the best songs ever made, so yeah, it's more than fine. So yeah, there you go. You should fucking... That should be the most anticipated game of the year. It should be the best game of all time.
No, Sean...
Based on... There is a Venn diagram being crafted here, Jonathan, of things that you like, and at the very fucking center is Fantasia Music Evolved... No, I mean, yeah, there's Sean. The Kinect's kind of in there souring it a little bit.
Sean, let me... Can I...
Yeah.
There is a rhythm game coming out this year for the Vita that's all Persona music. That's my Venn diagram. To
be fair, that's my Venn diagram. Okay? I played Persona before you did. Don't go taking my shtick, motherfucker. Okay. I'm not that into Fantasia. You can sit with your Fantasia bullshit. Your Disney fucking princess crap. I've got my cool
Fantasia is
anime
like the
video game series, okay? That's me. That's me. That's what I'm into.
Okay.
Don't try to take my
thing. I'm just saying, Persona 4 Dancing All Night.
Yeah.
I will fucking import that game if I have to.
Yes.
Because, English dub doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So.
Because, you know, rhythm crosses all cultural boundaries, goddammit. You don't need to know Japanese
let's
get that.
Let's talk about some real games here. Sometime this year, they don't have a firm date announced, but it's coming soon.
The sequel to 2013 Game of the Year.
2012 2013 Game of the Year.
Sure.
Hotline Miami 2, wrong number.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
So am I. Miami was a great fucking game that came out in 2012.
It was. And you know the best thing about this is that we don't have to wait for it to get to PS4. It's coming to PS4 and Vita first.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is awesome. So I'm excited about that.
Yep.
Mario Kart 8.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure it will be a Mario Kart game.
Yep, I think it will be the 8th one.
I bet you will have items.
Probably.
I bet there will be a blue shell.
I think you will travel along some sort of circuitous course that goes back in on itself.
Yoshi?
Multiple times, in fact.
There will be Yoshi?
Yes, and hopefully Yoshi will be up in right one, so that if I play Mario Kart with my brother, I can beat him at getting to Yoshi. Because that's what it was in Mario Kart 64.
Okay. Well, sounds good.
Yeah. Maybe Waluigi will be in it. That would be awesome.
I think he's in most of them.
Yes, the year of Waluigi, right?
Yeah, right. Metal Gear Solid 5 The Phantom Pain will maybe come out this year. The full actual game.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Kiefer Sutherland's going to be voicing Big Boss. I don't think it's Solid Snake. It looks like Solid Snake. I don't think it is. I think it's Boss. So.
Okay. What else we got here, Sean?
And then after that, we've got Murdered Soul Suspect. And it's important to know that there is a pun going on here with the homophone. You've got Soul and Soul. And Soul Suspect, you assume... You hear Murdered Soul Suspect. How would you spell that, Jonathan? If I just told you there's a game coming out called Murdered Soul Suspect, how do you spell Soul?
S-O-L-E.
Well, guess what, Jonathan? It's actually spelled S-O-U-L, because guess what? You're a fucking ghost detective.
Hell yeah.
Guess what happens? The first thing that happens in the game is you get killed.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, but you know what happens in most games when you get killed? It just says game over. Not this game. No, when you get killed in this game, it's like... Fuck that. Find out who the fuck killed you. Let's fuck this motherfucker up. Let's haunt his goddamn ass. Let's become a ghost detective. We've been murdered, but there is a singular suspect, and he is a sole suspect.
Okay, on Wikipedia it says, and I don't know if this is true, but I love this sentence. The concept of the title was based on Die Hard, but with a twist when creative director Yosuke Shiokawa wondered what if protagonist John McClane died in the events of the film, yet continued to fight as a ghost.
That's the best origin story for a video game ever! You know that Venn diagram I was talking about? This is that Venn diagram. It's got homophonic puns. It's got Die Hard in its DNA.
I'm playing this game.
It's got ghosts and ghost detectives? Yeah.
All right, well, this sounds fun.
And if you ignore, and you know, like, because sometimes when you say the titles of things, you ignore the subtitle. If you ignore the subtitle in that game, the title of the game is just Murdered. And that's it. Because even if it didn't have the pun, Murdered is like the best title ever. Because it tells you everything you need to know. It's not murder or murderer. It's murdered. You're dead. It's over, motherfucker. But it's not because you're a ghost.
The Witcher 3.
Right, The Witcher 3. Another... The Witcher is a franchise I wish... I want to play Witcher 2. But I can't play Witcher 2 because I have to play Witcher 1. Even though... The same person would just say play Witcher 2 because I've tried to play Witcher 1. Witcher 1's really boring because it's super slow. But I think I'll just play Witcher 3. I think I'll just say fuck it because Witcher 3 is going to come out on next gen consoles. It's like, for those who don't know, Witcher's a big like epic fantasy RPG series based on a series of books. I think they're Polish. So it's got a weird, really dark fantasy element because it's European and they're just sad and like everything's dark over there because there's no sunshine in Poland. But yeah, so Witcher 3 looks fucking awesome. I've heard The Witcher 2 is great. Like I said, The Witcher 1 has some fun parts. But
you own The Witcher 2 on Steam, don't you?
Yes, I do.
I know you do,
It's like $3. Yeah. So I could try to play Witcher 2, but I've also heard it's really long, so I'm going to try to just jump in on Witcher 3, The Wild Hunt.
Nice.
So yeah, so fans of The Witcher franchise should be very happy.
All right, what we got here?
Then we've got Tom Clancy's The Division. That was that game that was showed off at the Ubisoft press conference in... at E3, And this, and you should note, like, Tom Clancy, that this game, it's speculated will come out in 2014. Like, this is kind of loose. It was on Wikipedia for 2014 year in gaming. So that's my source for it coming out in 2014.
Yeah.
It very well could go out into 2015, but just based on the trailer that looked fucking awesome, that demo at E3. So I will take any sort of these weird single-player, multiplayer, hybrid games with RPG elements and shooting people as I can, you know?
Yes. We think there's going to be a Halo game this year, but...
Yeah, who knows? They haven't actually... Again, this is another one that I've... Like, they said it was going to come out in 2014 at the Microsoft E3 press conference, or no, at the Xbox One unveiling event, where they just called it Halo.
It'll be Halo 1 with the O serving as both...
Again, this goes back to our movie discussion about what would be great titles for games. I can't believe they have not made Perfect Dark 1 yet. Because they made Perfect Dark, then Perfect Dark 0 is a 360 launch title, now you have the Xbox One, and you could finally make what could never have been made before, which is Perfect Dark 1, where it's just literally 1. You don't just call it that because it's the first one.
So we'll get Halo...
Yeah,
Halo 1.
I just kind of want to throw this out there. I've also heard rumors, this is totally unsubstantiated, that Halo 2 Anniversary Edition will come out this year.
Yeah, I've been hearing those too. Yeah,
I have no idea if that will happen.
Well, and maybe, and
that would be cool if it came out with 360, obviously.
I've also heard speculation that the Halo game they're talking about coming out this year is not Halo 5. It's not the next big entry in the series. It's some spinoff kind of thing.
Halo Spartan Assault 2.
Something they could make quicker, but I don't know. The Halo franchise is kind of getting away from me at this point.
Yeah, me too. And it's just like... I want more concrete information on what the fuck like Halo game is coming out, because they ever since that announcement they haven't said anything about it. So,
and now our last two games have in no way been announced, but we know they're coming out.
This is when I was looking at 2014 year in gaming on Wikipedia. I got to the bottom of the list of like games that have no confirmed date, and it was just unannounced Assassin's Creed sequel and unannounced Call of Duty sequel, because that's how fucking reliable it is that those games are going to get sequels. That Wikipedia is like, sure, whatever. We don't need to delete that. Like, that is, like, based on the evidence of the past, that is effectively just, like, hard evidence. Even though they have not been, there have been no official announcements whatsoever that a sequel to those franchises is going to come out this year. Fuck yeah, they are.
So let's speculate a little bit. We assume this will be another Treyarch game for Call of Duty.
Yeah, for Call of Duty, obviously, yeah.
Will it be Black Ops 3?
I didn't play Black Ops 2, so I don't know if they left off a sequel hook, but...
I know people liked both of those Black Ops games. Two especially.
I think they'll come out with Call of Duty Blacker Ops.
Blackest Ops?
Yeah. Blackest of Ops. Yeah.
Yes.
But maybe they'll just say, fuck it, we're going to call it Call of Duty Black Operations, because let's stop calling it Ops. Like, I know it sounds cooler, but it's an operation. So Black Operations.
And then the next one can be Call of Duty The Black Operations.
Yeah. And then The Call of Duty The Black Operations.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Call of the Duty. They can do the reverse Fast and Furious.
Yeah, exactly.
No, but I really want to do some speculation on Assassin's Creed.
Yeah.
Because I'm really curious, because I recently just finally finished the campaign of Assassin's Creed 4.
The Black Flag.
And I want to... mild spoilers here for the end of the game. If you haven't finished it yet, you know, skip ahead. But I think one of the really... the things Assassin's Creed 4 does so well is this really interesting arc for Edward Kenway at the end, where he not only, you know, stops being a pirate to join the Assassins, but then we follow him even further than that, where he has to take care of his daughter.
Yeah.
And by the end of the game, he's effectively, it seems, retired. He's an old man.
He's like one of the few pirates that didn't die.
Right.
So he's obviously, you know, you can't be a pirate for too long without getting killed.
Right.
Like, Blackbeard was in history, was only a pirate, I think, for like 3 years.
So. Yeah. It's a really interesting ending to the game.
Yeah.
But it's clear they're not setting it up like Ezio with his trilogy.
Yeah, there doesn't feel like there's any clear part where Edward Kenway could...
come back.
Yeah, you could have Assassin's Creed 4-2.
Right.
The Blacker Flag.
And I think they could definitely do a 4-2 with a different character in that universe. There's plenty of other ways they could go with the pirates in that universe. Yeah. And I would even, you know, they did they gave us, you know, a DLC with Adwale, but you could do a game with him as an assassin pirate, something like that. Who knows? But what do you think they're going to do?
Then they should still just call Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag, because he's black.
What the fuck?
It's racial humor.
Okay. Sean, what do you think? What do you think Assassin's Creed 8 is going to be, or whatever we're on now?
I have no idea if they're going to call it Assassin's Creed 5. Like, I just because... you know, you would have expected Assassin's Creed 4 to have been Assassin's Creed Black Flag, because even though I would like if they called, like, their like, you know, the Ezio trilogy was all Assassin's Creed 2, then 2 Brotherhood, then 2 Revelations. It's not. It's just Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, and I think that's stupid. But people don't understand titles as well as I do, is what I'm saying. That's like the theme of this podcast.
Well, but I'm interested. You know, they didn't do a direct sequel to 3, in part because people didn't really love 3.
Yeah.
But Black Flag has, you know, unanimous people are really hot on this game. They could totally milk that like they did Assassin's Creed 2.
And, like, I hope they don't. Like, I don't, even though I love Assassin's Creed 4, I don't know if I actually really want them to do Pirates again, because I think...
They did it so well.
Yeah, they did it so well that it's like, and especially, like, I don't want them to do annually Pirates. Like, maybe they could come back to Pirates in a couple of years, but, you know, if this was another franchise, I would not want them to, like, make yearly Pirate games, because I just get, you know, exhausted of it. So, like, I mean, for me, I don't think they're going to, I mean, I know they're not going to do this, but I would love an Assassin's Creed game, not only set in Japan, because everyone like says, like, oh, you should make a fucking Japanese Assassin's Creed game set in Japan.
But resurrect Toshiro Mifune and have him voice the main character and motion capture him? Well, I agree.
Yes, sure. I mean, okay. I wasn't going to say that. I was going to say I wanted to be set in the Meiji era of Japan, where that's like the late 19th century after, like, basically feudal Japan collapsed in a big civil war. And then they had this weird sort of interim government between what was feudal Japan and basically the imperial Japan that was in, like, World War II and stuff. And there was this weird, like, interim period where after the feudal Japan fell, basically their borders blew wide open to Western influence, because part of, like, I think it was Tokugawa, that regime did not want any Western influence in Japan whatsoever, so they, like, basically closed their borders except for one port town that Portugal had interaction with. So they opened up the floodgates, and so all this Western culture came in, like, guns and shit like that, and science that they were not exposed to whatsoever because they were so insular up to that point, came flooding in. Like, samurai became outlawed, so you couldn't carry swords around. This is also when the anime Rurouni Kenshin is set, so that's fucking cool too, because you could have a Kenshin Assassin's Creed crossover, who knows. But yeah,
Assassin's, like, Creed X Kenshin,
exactly. But it's a really, really interesting period, and not just like Japanese history, but I think it's one of the most fascinating periods in world history in general, because of that impact of just so much alien culture flooding in at just that precise moment, and then finally becoming accepting of it, you know, and kind of turning their backs on this very sort of feudalistic and very kind of brutal system of, like, the samurai and Bushido and stuff like that, in a way. And so, like, I just think, like, that's a fucking awesome historical period, because then you could still have guns and shit, because they built gun systems up so much. Like, finally in 4, they had the free aiming system that they had not had yet.
There wasn't a free aiming system?
No, it was lock-on. It was terrible. The other says gunplay was terrible in this game. Yeah. But, obviously, if they actually... And I basically think they've said that if they are doing one that's set in Japan, that it would be during feudal Japan. I don't find feudal Japan that interesting. Like, it's interesting, but it's not as interesting.
I think it would be really cool, because
it would be cool.
But yeah, I agree.
And then they would do ninjas, and they shouldn't do ninja. They should just make them samurai. Like,
yeah, I know. Yeah. That's why you get...
Yeah, it's like, I want them to do Japan, I just want them to do it right, I guess. Yeah.
Me too. And I will take anything in that way. My real hope would be that it's all in Japanese subtitles. Yeah. That'd be fucking awesome. But,
I mean, historically with the franchise, when they... I mean, this is not an issue with 3 and 4, obviously, because those are all set in English-speaking areas, mostly. But 2, you know, all those games were set in Italy, so there was actually huge amounts of Italian in the dialogue.
That's cool.
To the point where the game, honestly, should have just had subtitles, because you needed to put subtitles on, because there were, like, key pieces of dialogue, effectively, that were in Italian, that if you did not manually turn the subtitles on, you'd completely miss. Like, you know, all the sequences where you assassinate a key character, and you have those weird, like, you're talking to each other in, like, the animus void, even though
characters
could not possibly talk to each other. Assassin's Creed 1 did it. I don't know.
Okay.
And so they kept on doing it. Like, in the 2 games, those tended to have almost the entire thing be more or less in Italian. So it was like, if you didn't have subtitles on, you'd just be looking at people speaking Italian and have no idea what anyone's saying.
I would have been fucked. I don't ever turn subtitles on in my games.
Yeah, Assassin's Creed is the only ones I've done, so... So yeah, if they did send them to Japan, chances are there'd be significant amounts of Japanese dialogue.
Well, cool. So anyway, yeah, I think there's so many possibilities for this series. And I agree. Like, as much as I loved 4, I don't need 4 too. I would love them to branch out and really do all the things that they could do with this series. When you have all of history open to you, there's so many cool things they could do. Why can we not get the Bolshevik Uprising Assassin's Creed game? Rise of Communism as an Assassin's Creed game in Soviet Russia.
And then, like, the only two weapons you have is a hammer and a sickle. That's it. Just go around crushing fools.
All right. I don't actually want that. But, yeah. Obviously, the other games that have no release dates, but these are the most important games coming out this
year.
Yes. Persona 5.
Yes.
Persona 4 Dancing All Night.
Yes.
And Persona 4...
Ultimax Ultra Suplex Hold.
Yes.
Yes.
So... I hope I have become fluent in Japanese by the end of the year so I can play Persona 5 as soon as it comes out.
Let's hope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to work really hard.
Yeah.
But, you know, they offer Japanese over the summer and stuff.
So.
You know, I can get there.
You won't.
I won't, but we'll see. All right. And that about does it for our 2014 year in preview. Sean, sound like a good year?
Yeah.
I hope so.
Murdered Soul Suspects coming out this year, so.
Yeah.
We've got that.
Indeed.
And Captain America 2, that's coming out this year also.
So. Maybe he'll hang his shield on a
yes.
on a coat rack.
And then right next to it will be Thor's hammer.
That'd be great.
And then next to that's like Iron Man's helmet.
Well, you know how Chris Evans made a cameo in Thor 2? Maybe we can have Chris Hemsworth make a cameo in Captain America 2.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure probably one of those guys is going to make a cameo in there.
Yeah.
I hope so.
Just not Robert Downey Jr. because that would cost the budget of the movie.
Have you seen that video online of how they did that scene, that cameo, where they had Tom Hiddleston do it, like, dressed in a Captain America outfit and, like, do the scene and then had Chris Evans watch that and then replicate that performance?
I did not know. I just assumed they had Chris Evans on set.
No, that's how they did it. So, like, the footage, because I think it's a bonus feature on the DVD, but, like, they released it online of, like, that footage of Tom Hiddleston doing that scene in the costume. It's really funny.
That's awesome. That movie's coming out on Blu-ray soon. I'm excited because I just want to watch it again.
Yeah.
Have you heard the rumors that, you know, they're trying to get Johnny Depp as Doctor Strange?
I've heard that, yeah.
I don't know if I believe it.
I'm not sure. I mean, he looks like a younger Doctor Strange. Like, I think maybe if you dyed, like, put, like, the gray streaks in, maybe you really look like Doctor Strange, but I don't, his acting style, I don't think is suited. Like Doctor Strange is a relatively, even though his name is Doctor Strange, and he's, you know, the Sorcerer Supreme, he's a relatively serious dude. Like, he's not weird and quirky in the way like every Johnny Depp character is or has been for a very long time now.
Yeah, it's weird because it makes sense to me on a business level of that's how you get the general public into a Doctor Strange movie.
Yeah, because nobody knows who the fuck Doctor Strange is.
Yeah, but at the same time, no one knows who the fuck Guardians of the Galaxy are, and I think they're going to be able to make that work because but
Guardians of the Galaxy also has a character named Rocket Raccoon. And as soon as you hear that, you get a certain segment of the audience just going to the movie automatically.
The only thing that I think makes me doubt that report in some way is that they already have one unbelievably expensive actor on the payroll.
That's true. Yeah.
And Marvel is notoriously stingy with salaries, and I don't know if they would want another. Like, Johnny Depp would be much harder to negotiate with than Robert Downey Jr.
at this point.
I mean, he demands an even higher salary than that, so I don't know.
Yeah. And then, for some reason, he just played the character as if he was Native American. It was really strange and vaguely racist.
Also, it's, you know, I hate to say this, I just assume Johnny Depp would play it as Jack Sparrow, and
that's not Doctor Strange at all.
What's too bad is I just feel like Johnny Depp was so good in that first Pirates, but it has ruined him as an actor.
Yeah.
Because that's all he does anymore, and he's been pretty bad for a number of years now. Mm. And it's too bad. But anyway. However they do it, I'm sure they'll make a good Doctor Strange movie when they get around to it.
Yeah.
So, Marvel's doing a good job. So,
I certainly
and it's, think it's, so. We got another year where we get two new Marvel movies, so that's a good year by my measure.
Yep.
So this has been the /76th...
The inaugural episode.
Yeah, we're going to keep the same numbering, by the way, just because I don't want to reset to zero after we got to 75.
Sure.
So this is the weekly stuff, number 76. Sean, I'm glad we did 76.
That's, wait, 76 weekly. No, but it was WGTC radio. That was 75. We did 75 of those. This can't be. This can't. That's not math. Jonathan, math!